This is PFW in Progress.
Tour of Europe, Scandinavia, and the subcontinent. Won't you welcome
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Who wants an orange whip? Orange whip? Orange whip? Three orange whips.
Paul Perillo.
Got any fried chicken?
Best damn chicken in the state.
Bring me four fried chickens and a Coke.
You want chicken wings or chicken legs?
Four fried chickens and a Coke.
And some dry white toast, please.
And Andy. And Andy?
It wasn't my fault! Honest! I ran out of gas! I had a flat tire! I didn't have enough money for cab fare! My tux didn't come back from the cleaners! An old friend came in from out of town! Someone stole my car!
Andy Hart.
There was an earthquake! A terrible flood! Locust! It wasn't my fault! I swear to God!
Some guy named Tom.
Are you the police?
No, ma'am. We're musicians. We're on a mission from God.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Well, now, what can I get you boys? You thirsty, you hungry, or you just driving through? Maybe like a beer or something a little harder?
No, thank you, ma'am. We may be sucking back a few beers a little later on. We'll be here all night. You see, we're the band.
PFW in Progress.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
All right. Welcome to PFW in Progress. The Blues Brothers are here. Fred Kirsch and Tom Casale. Actually, we're not blue. We're excited. Patriots are going to Buffalo, and they're going to pick up their fifth win of the year. Right, Tom?
Well, I'm excited not to be going to Buffalo, but for the game.
Have you been to Buffalo? Yeah, you've been to Buffalo before, right?
Yeah, I've been there where we have to walk outside in the rain and the snow, and it's freezing.
Right. That's going to be nice, though, Sunday. Yeah. It's going to be mid-50s.
I think your weather report is outdated.
Well, now it might be now. What are they saying now, rain?
Now I'm hearing rain.
Yeah, well.
From one Brian Lowe, who says it could be sloppy on Sunday.
Yeah, wear a hat. They've got the turf there now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll be okay.
The stadium stinks, though.
No, it's a terrible stadium. It was actually...
Where's your hat?
It was actually an exact replica of Foxborough Stadium when it was first built, but the Bills added on to it over time and closed off the ends, made it a little nicer, but now it's really outdated. But the chances of getting a new stadium in Buffalo with that economy is pretty slim. So I don't know what Ralph Wilson's going to do. I think in 5 to 10 years.
It's a very complex proposal.
There will not
I
be.
I really didn't understand it.
A Buffalo Bills, despite, you know, all the senators that are lining up to try to help the small market teams, it's business.
And yeah, I don't see any way they survive that.
I think it's more likely to have a team in Toronto than there will be one in Buffalo in 10 years. So you can book it.
All right.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. That's webradio at Patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. Webradio at Patriots.com. We had Bill Belichick's press conference this morning. You just came from the locker room? Or did you go to the locker room?
No, you're going to ask us every Friday?
Oh, is that right? That's right. They moved it to 1:30.
1:30 on Friday.
1:30 on Friday.
And I was sitting upstairs in my chair when you came down and asked who's on the show with me. I'm on the show with you every Friday.
Gary, is Felger coming for our second hour?
Yes. And Paul Perillo said he might stop down as well.
Well, Paul is because he's bringing my lunch, so I know that. So we'll have Felger here, and that means we might have some in-studio live interviews for you, as we do every Friday.
I have the weather report in Buffalo if you'd like it.
Let's hear it, Gary.
60% chance of precipitation, a low of 39 with a high of 50.
Ooh, low of 39, high of 50.
That's summer in Buffalo.
Yeah. So chances are around the game time it'll be in the mid-40s, probably some drizzle perhaps. Mm-hmm. But that can change. I mean, that lake effect weather over there.
Although very seldom, once you hit October, do you go to Buffalo and get a nice day to begin with.
Well,
so
I've
actually pretty nice.
I think I've only been there once when it was sunny, and that was that debacle a few years ago when the Patriots lost 31-0 or whatever
it
was.
Yeah, you got to get it early in the season.
It's usually looking downtown Buffalo looks like Berlin circa 1945.
it really does.
It's dreary.
It's a dreary, miserable place.
Dismal. Dismal.
That's actually a very accurate portrait. That's exactly what it looks like.
And then the drive from downtown Buffalo to Orchard Park, you go along the lake and there's all these closed down factories and stuff.
Yeah, everything's closed down.
It's kind of sad. Going to Buffalo, we're all predicting the Patriots to win this game fairly easily. But, again, you never know when it's an AFC East game what can happen. But I just based on what Buffalo's been doing over the past few weeks.
Yeah, see, I actually disagree with Bill on something. He said teams get better every week. Well, the Patriots might be getting better, but I actually think the Bills were better back when they first played them. I think they're getting worse.
Yeah. It was an interesting press conference. Fridays usually kind of go off on a little bit of a tangent. And so we should talk about that. One of the writers brought up, you know, how good were the Buffalo Bills back when they went to four?
And not so many words.
Yeah.
Bill said not very.
Yeah. Four Super Bowls in a row, yet never won it. And I think Bill's bottom line is, look, it doesn't matter if you go to the game if you don't win it.
Well, me and Andy were kind of arguing on the way to the studio after the press conference. Not arguing, but just talking about it. And I said, I think it's impressive that they went to four straight Super Bowls. Just like I think it's impressive that the Braves won 14 straight, you know, division titles. But the AFC was terrible then. Some teams had chances to take them out, like Miami at home that didn't get the job done. The Chiefs came in with Joe Montana. Montana got injured in that game early on when it was close. So things happened for Buffalo to get them there. I think they should have beat the Giants, but after that, they had no chance.
Yep.
The Redskins and Cowboys were so superior to those teams,
it wasn't even
funny.
And I think that's kind of the underlying theme that Bill was trying to make. You know, he mentioned all my five Super Bowls are special. Like if you had more than one kid, they were all special to you. He didn't mention the Super Bowl he went to with the Patriots that he lost.
Right.
You know, that's he actually went to six Super Bowls.
Well, he said that you'd probably rather get there and lose. But I heard Michael Strahan say a couple years after they lost to Baltimore, he says it's the worst day of his life, and he'd rather go 0-16 than get to the Super Bowl again and lose, because he says you never stop replaying the game in your mind. He said even in a blowout like that, you think early on in the game, was there something, because there was that one bad penalty call on the Giants where they scored a defensive touchdown, and he says you always go back and think, well, what if they didn't call that?
And right.
He says it's just so hard to live with, because you're four quarters from what you set out to do back in March, and you're so close, and you come up short.
Right. Bill didn't want to even touch with a 10-foot pole the question that Michael Felger put to him. There's a report out. Well, let's go back. There was a report earlier a few weeks ago where Bill Polian actually grabbed a Jet employee by the lapels and put him up against the wall because they kind of got into an argument having to do with speakers too close to the field. I don't know exactly what went back and forth between the two, but it ended up with
Polian laying hands on
this Jets employee. The Jets, in turn, filed a complaint with the NFL, and I guess according to
I'm excited to be a head coach.
According to Tom Curran of MSNBC, Polian actually had to file a written apology to the employee. So I don't know if this is all confirmed, but anyway, probably tongue-in-cheek, Curran also reports that the Patriots have filed just sort of a warning to the league that, you know, should they be prepared to protect their employees from Bill Polian.
And that means us, because we'll be the ones closest to him.
Right. So, and I'm sure the Patriots just did it as a dig because of all the times that Polian has petitioned the league to change things based on what the Patriots have done, you know, with receivers or calling timeouts two in a row when a team is setting up for field goal. If you remember, the Patriots did that a couple years ago.
Yeah.
It worked. And then the next day in midseason, they changed the rule. Not the next day, but the next week in midseason, they changed the rule. You couldn't do that. Well, that's unprecedented. The league never changes rules in the middle of a season.
Right.
But, you know, Polian being on the competition committee, so I guess that was a dig, if it's true, of the Patriots doing that. But Bill either wasn't involved in that or wanted nothing to do. We referred all questions regarding Bill Polian to Stacey James, the PR director.
Yeah.
So,
well, I always think of Polian looking like an idiot with Mel Kiper trying to defend drafting Trev Alberts.
Yeah.
You know, I know Trent Dilfer was no superstar, but that him in that setting right there, that's the real Bill Polian. That's the kind of guy he is. That Mel Kiper and those guys are doing their job critiquing the draft, and he's got such an ego, he can't stand anybody saying anything about him, and he's got to act like an ass on national television.
Yeah, now he's one of those guys that, you know, he's from the old school. He thinks that only football people know football.
You know something? You suck.
You know, and he's one of the reasons why a lot of teams haven't won Super Bowls. I mean, he was with the Bills for three of those four Super Bowl games. He's been with the Colts and, you know, one of the better teams that haven't won yet. So what do you say about this guy? You know?
Yeah, well, and that's probably why Bill didn't have too many good things to say about the Buffalo teams, because Polian was the one that built them.
Well, you know, I was thinking about it, though, that Norwood kick that he missed. How would so many lives be different if he had made that kick? You know, Parcells would be a one-time winner, not a two-time winner. Belichick wouldn't have his defensive game plan put in the Hall of Fame. You know, really, that one kick would have changed so many things if he had made it. It's unbelievable. Now, you must have been a Giants fan back then, right?
A Giants fan?
Yeah.
I've always hated the Giants.
Okay. So you were rooting for the Bills?
I was rooting for the Bills like crazy.
Yeah?
For more than one reason, but...
Which we won't get into.
But,
right
now. No, I wanted the Bills to win bad in that game. I hate the Giants.
Right.
But the thing was, with that year, and I just told this to Andy, the way the Giants got there, the Niners were going for a three-peat.
The Niners were probably the best team in the league.
No, but they were running the clock out. That game was over. And Roger Craig went into the pile, and Lawrence Taylor got his arm in there and stripped the ball away. But at the time, the game was over. The Niners were just simply running the clock out. So it was kind of like everything fell into place. It was one of those years like the Patriots of 2000. But you got to wonder if that Belichick sold his soul to the devil. Don't you? I mean, things always fall into place for him and Parcells.
Wow. Not so much Parcells anymore.
No, I guess his run is over.
Yeah, his contract expired. He didn't renew.
Right.
You know? So it's interesting stuff. That was kind of the theme of, you know, today's press conference, and he also made another shout-out to Tony La Russa. I noticed underneath his windbreaker, he had that Cardinal shirt on again. So He
won't have it on four games from now, though.
No, I think Detroit's a better team, but I don't know. I mean, you know, I thought the Mets were a better team, too.
Yeah, but the Mets stink.
Yeah, I guess. But that was one of the most amazing catches that I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
Out in left field there. And I thought, once that catch was made, that's it, Mets win. You know, because usually those things happen and that propels you, but it didn't. And so it's the Cardinals and the Tigers.
Two old school teams.
Two old school teams. They've been around for a long time. Red Shandy, Stan Musial, you know, Al Kaline.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay.
Well, I like baseball very, very much.
That was Bill. He's a big baseball fan. He was a big, I think he was a New York Giant fan when the Giants were playing baseball in New York. I think he was a Giants fan. All right, webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Guys are going to be coming down with lunch, second hour, so we'll be all together in the second hour.
Yeah, and I got to give a shout-out to my boy James. He sent me the receipt of the iPod so everyone knows that he didn't steal it.
Right, because that was a question.
Yeah.
We thought, no, he isn't, he works.
Yeah, he's big in the Apple organization.
Yeah,
me and him got some things going on together. We're, you know, we're working on some things. James is a good guy. He's coming for the Bears game, so.
Did he get a discount on it?
I'm sure he got an employee's discount, yeah.
We'll have to hit him up, Freddie.
I'm working on
it. Well, he told me if Fred needs anything, tell him to let me know. And I said, well, I don't know, James. You better watch out, because as I was leaving yesterday, I heard Fred mention the words Christmas list.
All right. But
I bought three last year alone.
Things are doing well with the iPod for you?
Oh, I love it.
Have you downloaded any of the Patriots podcasts?
No.
You got to subscribe to that, you know?
Why? So every time I plug it in, it...
it updates automatically, yeah. Yeah, you know, if you want, you just...
But aren't I here?
Oh, but it's just good to have so you can review yourself.
Oh, okay.
You know, do a little self-scouting.
That's the first song I downloaded.
Right.
But I haven't gotten to the podcast part yet, Fred. We're still working with the music.
Okay, good.
So when I get to there, I'll do it. And God knows I don't know how to subscribe, so I'll have to ask you.
All right. Any college games our listeners should be aware of this Saturday? Keep an eye on. Any good college games on this?
This is one of those kind of lulls in the season. You know, you got your Tennessee, Alabama that used to be a big game that isn't quite as big anymore. Nothing. I mean, Ohio State has a breather. Michigan plays Iowa, but Iowa doesn't look that good. It's one of those where if you don't see a lot of college football, you're probably not going to miss a lot this week.
Okay, so nothing big on the docket. Nothing that you're going to wish that you were at home for instead of traveling
this
to Buffalo.
No, a couple of weeks when Michigan and Ohio State lock horns, that'll be the big one.
Okay. This next email reminded me of this. How many catches is Troy Brown now away from Stanley Morgan? Five catches. So Stanley Morgan had a little press conference, was it yesterday, with the media? He called in and gave his stamp of approval, now, which kind of made me laugh. Like, Troy Brown really needs anyone's stamp of approval on
really
anything he's done.
Make him retire so he can't break it if Stanley Morgan.
Yeah. I need more cumin.
But that's something to look out for this game.
You don't want to, jerk the quarterback off.
I kind of hope, though, but the thing is, Patriots have two road games in a row. So unless...
I predict he's going to break it against the Colts.
Well, the thing is, you do.
Yeah.
So you think he won't do it in the next two games?
No, I don't.
So he won't have a combined five catches in the next two games?
No, I think we'll have a combined four.
Okay. In a way, I kind of hope that happens, because I'd rather have him break the record at home, but... What's that saying about how well the team's doing if he doesn't have?
Well, I think they're going to run the ball 75% of the time against Buffalo. So I think there's a good chance he could come out of here with none or like one catch.
Okay.
And if that's the case, Minnesota's got a pretty good defense, holds them like three catches.
Okay.
It'll be either Minnesota. I don't think it'll be a Buffalo game. I just don't think they're going to have to throw enough where one receiver is going to get five catches because Brady spreads the ball around and – You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those things where they might not have to put the ball in the air more than 20 times.
Nothing crazy going on with the injury report. It's pretty much the same as it's been. There'll be a new one coming out at 4 o'clock today, but we don't foresee any big changes on it.
No.
Ellis Hobbs still on there with the wrist. Kazier. Hochstein with the knee.
Graham.
Everybody's questionable. Nobody's doubtful. Has there been a doubtful on the Patriots report at all this
ever?
Year? No, ever. I know there has been, but
no, I don't think so.
Think
not
so.
This year.
And same goes for the Bills. They nothing really spectacular going on with their injury.
Yeah,
report.
They got some guys hurt though.
They do have guys hurt.
Center, their guard, and
their offensive
their third
line's
receiver.
In trouble. That's true. Yeah.
And Roscoe Parrish is their punt returner and their they're kind of their big play third receiver. So
yeah, they're off.
They don't have a lot of when you're a team that doesn't have a lot of fireworks to begin with, and then you lose a guy like that. That hurts you even more.
I guess so. I guess you're right. But I you know, like I said, I think as far as the defensive game plan goes for the Patriots, I think they're really going to put the heat on Losman from the beginning, as opposed to last time they played, where they kind of laid back and tried to force Losman to work it downfield, which he was doing.
Yeah,
he wasn't. I think they're really going to come at Losman this game.
Yeah, I can see that too.
This could be a breakout game for Richard Seymour. So, all those people that are wondering where Richard Seymour has been this season, you're going to see him.
People wondering where Mike Vrabel and Roosevelt Colvin are too.
I think there's going to be a lot of pressure put on Losman this game. So, all right, let's get to some emails at webradio@patriots.com, and this is the one that reminded me of Stanley Morgan and Troy Brown. He says, after I sent my email yesterday, I guess it was yesterday, I listened to Belichick's press conference and heard him refer to Stanley Morgan as the steamer. I should have waited to attribute the error to Belichick and then you guys for not correcting him or knowing this yourselves. I guess it was a thing about this emailer, Mike, thought that...
Bob Stanley was called the steamer.
But so was Stanley Morgan.
Yeah, that's why no one corrected him, because Stanley Morgan played a while ago. I don't know what his nickname was.
Right. But Stanley Morgan was the steamer. They both were the steamer. So Mike says, for this email, my previous email, I apologize 1,000 times. All right. And I think that was supposed to be a clip from Gary, but we didn't play it.
I apologize 1,000 times to you. I'll get on my hands and knees. I misspoke.
That's the one I was looking for.
Go
yourselves.
All right. Fred writes in from Montreal. We'll be close to Montreal. You going to go over the border?
No, I'm going out to eat with you.
Okay, well, that's 7 o'clock. There's a lot of...
What do you think? I stay out till 5 in the morning when we have a 1 o'clock football
game?
Some
guys do. You young guys, you know.
Not people who have to write.
Have a lot of energy.
You know, marketing people who can just sit around. We have to work, you know.
What's that?
I'm not going over either.
Are you coming on the trip? Oh, that's good. You going to Billy Ogden's?
Indeed.
You got a table?
Yeah, for 5.
Oh, good. Who are you going with?
Another gentleman in the marketing department, our voiceover guy.
Rob Schuler.
And 2 club members.
Excellent, excellent. What time's your table?
I want to say 8.
Okay.
What was the road trip you decided to go on?
I generally go on a lot more, but always go to Buffalo.
Do you really?
It's that because of the restaurant, right?
Yes, Billy Ogden's is so good.
I was going to ask why, but okay.
If anyone here is in the Buffalo area listening, Billy Ogden's, you got to go. Or if you're planning on going to the game, Fred.
Short flight, too.
Fred, I think you're actually thinking of going down to the game. You got to check out Billy Ogden's. It's on the corner of William and Ogden Street in South Buffalo.
How many people are going to be able to get in, Fred? We already got the entire Patriots staff is going there for dinner.
Well, the BCN staff,
yeah,
too.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, you got to go later then.
It's a small
place. It clears
place.
Out around 9. You get a late dinner.
Thanks, babe. We'll hang around for a little while.
9.
What?
We'll still be there at 9.
Oh, yeah.
Hello!
So Fred says, I have a weird question for you. Consider the following trade. A team, let's say it's the Pats, are drafting 32 and 24. See what he did there?
32 yeah, the Pats are drafting 24, and the Seahawks are drafting 32.
And they trade to some team for a mid-first and a mid-second rounder. So they give up their 2 firsts for a mid-first and a mid-second rounder.
That won't work.
Basically, a move up and a move down at the same time. Have you ever seen a trade like this? And if not, do you think it is likely to happen?
Cannot happen because
do you understand the Ted
no
Nation
that,
rule on cockamamie trades?
There's no way that second rounder would ever be involved in that. It would be like a first and a fourth. There's no way you would give up 2 firsts, one being almost a second round pick, the other one being later in the first round, and then get a mid second round in return and move up in the first round. There's just no way the value chart would allow that to happen.
Okay. P.S. says, Fred, is there a way to get autographs from the visiting team players in Buffalo?
I don't know anything about that.
Well, I can tell you that sometimes there's an area where they kind of block it off, but you can get close to where the visiting team buses are and yell at players, and maybe they'll come over to the fence. But in
back where Drew's camper party was?
Yeah, but Buffalo, they park the visiting teams in the back of the stadium. So it might be a little hard to do, but just so you know, just a little tip: the buses are parked in the back of Rich Stadium, Ralph Wilson Stadium. It used to be called Rich Stadium. So, you know, if you can make your way down there, there's a chance. But otherwise, it's going to be hard in Buffalo.
Yeah.
So, all right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. Did you see The Office last night?
Mm-hmm.
Terrible.
It wasn't one of their better ones.
It was really bad. It wasn't, you know, what, you know.
Well, I thought some of the things that he was doing in his office were funny when he was supposed to be working.
Oh, well, yeah,
that,
yeah.
I thought that's why I said it gave me a couple of laughs, but the premise of it in general was bad.
Not good. Not good.
It's one of those
shows. And they wasted like 5 minutes at the end with him talking to her on the phone. That's ridiculous.
That's one of those shows, though, that every now and then one of them misses. You know what I mean? Like, it's the kind of humor and stuff where they try something and it doesn't always register.
Yeah.
What are the odds Andy decided to tune in last night?
Right. See, I told you that show stopped. Let's see. Doug from Blackstone says, Fred, I think this TV thing is going to your head. Back in September, after the crocodile hunter died, you found a snake in your woodpile. It started out as a garter snake, then it was a coral snake, and it ended up a black mamba or a spitting cobra. Now you're being attacked by a camera in a life-and-death struggle. What now, the Terminator? Fred, you have your own show, Enough is Enough. You're cashing all the big checks now, and poor Tom is driving a car that no self-respecting crash dummy would get behind the wheel of. Give that man a raise.
I had to change my panties. Now, there's a smart man right there.
Did you tell him to write this?
No.
Doug is referring to an automated camera that attacked me last Tuesday. Literally pinned me up against the table.
Yeah,
I don't even care.
And for all you out
soft
there,
or hard,
you would pay a good amount of money to have seen what happened, because that was funny. I'm still laughing at it. Although he is right about the car I'm driving. I should mention that.
And by the way, it was a milk snake that I found in my wood
pile. Now it's a milk snake.
It looks like a coral snake.
This guy's right. It keeps pretty soon it's going to be a king cobra.
Milk snakes are often...
Pretty soon it'll be an alligator that you had to wrestle to the ground.
Milk snakes kind of look like coral snakes. They have the rings. Anyway, he says, enough of my mindless rambling. With the bye week and extra time Brady has had with the receivers, can we expect a breakout game soon?
I don't think he's had any extra time during the bye week. He wasn't really around much.
No?
He went to New York. People, they use, from what I can understand, and you or Paul or Andy might understand this better than me because I haven't been here that long, but it seems like Bill kind of wants people to get away from football.
Well,
a bit,
but they had
the
last
week,
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, that they practiced.
But I'm just saying, like, this is their time off to kind of get their heads cleared, and they're not really here putting in extra time, I don't think.
Well, we don't know if Gaffney wasn't. He might have been here doing something.
Brady wasn't. That's the point.
Right. Sean from Hazleton, Pennsylvania, not to defend the jerk Bill Polian, that was Bill Tobin in 94.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Kuiper.
You're right.
Oh.
I always get that mixed up.
Bill Tobin.
He's right.
Bill Napoleon did not go to Indy till 98. Sorry about that, Tom. It would have been funny if it was him.
I got the picture in my head, and it just they kind of look
Napoleon Dynamite.
Because Tobin's got that white hair, too.
Right.
And I got the picture in my head. He's right. It was Bill Tobin.
Game this week, Bills and Pats have a history of playing close one game and a blowout the next. It's a blowout this time. Pats 35, Bills 17. Again, I look for a breakout game for Chad Jackson. That would be good.
And if people keep saying it every week, sooner or later.
Sooner or later, it's going to be, yeah. But, I mean.
I thought it was interesting that he said he was having a little trouble adjusting to the offense.
It's not good.
No.
No.
I mean,
because
then.
The last guy that said that was Donald Hayes. And,
well, and you know what? And all the fans who keep ripping the media and everybody else for suggesting that, keep in mind, he said it himself this week, not Tom Casale or Fred Kirsch. Chad Jackson said he was having trouble learning things in the Patriots offense. So take that for what it's worth.
Let's see. Joe writes in. He's from China Village, Maine. I'm looking for a gift idea for a discriminating Patriots fan.
It's never too late to celebrate the incredible story of the 2001 Patriots journey to the World Championship.
Patriots
and
United.
No better way to do it than Patriots United.
Between us, we have a lot of logo items. It occurred to me that working in such close proximity to the team in the pro shop that you fellas must have seen it all. Is there something special you've seen that might blow my friend's mind on his birthday?
A gift?
A gift. Blow his mind. Well, what's your budget, Joe?
Yeah.
Because if you have a big budget, they have a chair, a leather chair. It's a huge chair with built-in cup holders, recliner, and everything. I think it goes for about $2,000.
I was going to say, your budget better be pretty big.
Yeah, but it's leather, Patriots colors. It's got the embroidered logo at the head. I mean, it's a beautiful chair.
Yeah, that would definitely blow their minds, but it would also blow your bank account.
Yeah,
so.
But that's about $2,000. So I need to know your budget, Joe. If you know, I mean, the DVDs, the Three Games to Glory, they have the box set now that come with the pins. You can get that for a good price.
Still pushing the pins, huh?
Why not? Patriots United, the coffee table book is one of a kind.
It's a coffee table book for about coffee tables.
Right, right. That's only about the first Super Bowl that they won. So that's
Newman.
That's a nice gift. They've got they've got a lot of. Have you checked out the pro shop? You know, the online pro shop, because they've got more things there than anywhere.
Well,
but if you have a huge budget,
looking for something, you know,
he's your best friend. It would definitely blow his mind if this chair showed up.
Mm-hmm. My guess is that he's not that close of a friend, though. So
the other thing,
give him a jersey.
If you really have a lot of money, they sell a Patriots vault. Have you seen this in PFW?
No.
You haven't seen the ad for the vault?
Vault? No.
They come out. It's like a safe for your house. But they're huge. And, I mean, it's like built in Switzerland. So, like, it's all meticulously done. I think they go for $7,000 to $10,000.
How many people are buying those?
I don't know. I'm just saying he was.
I mean, is there five? If there's five people buying those, seriously, who's buying a Patriots vault? First of all, if you have that kind of money, you're putting it in a bank vault,
right?
To begin with, I don't understand who could possibly be buying that item.
Well, a lot of gun collectors have vaults in their house. That's where they keep their guns.
All right,
but you know, so that's a unique gift. I don't think they sell that though in the pro shop. You have to see it in the ad in PFW.
Should I call Ken?
I'd like to get the numbers on how many have been sold.
Can we call Ken and see if we can get a line on the vault? So that's a couple, you know, but they have some jewelry, men's rings that they sell in the pro shop. And
men's rings. You can't go wrong there.
Well, I don't know, you know.
Every guy's dying to wear more rings.
A nice pinky ring, perhaps, you know. So give me a budget. But that chair is awesome. I would like one of those chairs. But
you got the budget, so why don't you buy one?
I don't have the budget. I don't have the budget. Wow, okay. Let's see, phone's ringing. Do you think he'd pick up? He's just never in his office. He's never in.
Hi, you've reached the desk.
I'm starting to think Gary's doing this on purpose, like he's got just a tape, because it's almost getting.
Please leave a brief message it's after the tone. With your name and phone number.
Let me get back to you as soon as possible.
Thanks, and have a nice day.
I can't leave something for him? No? All right. What's that? You want to call him?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Ken, call down to the studio, 508-543-7482. We have some emailers that have some merchandise questions that we need to
ask. Why the hell aren't you ever in your office? What are you doing?
All right.
Hi, you've reached the desk of Ken Flanders at Gillette Stadium.
Justin writes from Montreal. Just so you geography experts know, Montreal is really, really far from Buffalo. I thought it was right over the border. Niagara is across the border, and Toronto is like 2 hours by car.
Toronto.
Where does everybody go then?
Toronto.
Really?
I wasn't even listening to you. I was just agreeing with you.
I think Niagara.
Niagara? Oh, you mean to those bars I'm talking about? Niagara, okay.
I don't know. I don't go to strip joints because
she's hot too.
The dumbest things that's ever been invented.
I'm not into that at all.
It's the single biggest waste of time for a male that's ever been created. Listen, the day I can go in and start touching those girls, I'll be there every night. But until then, why would I go?
Tom will have to take you down to see the Buccaneers.
Yeah, there used to be a place in Tampa Bay where I think they shut that. Well, they changed the law.
6 foot rule now, I think.
Yeah.
Now, that's my kind of place. If you can touch him, I'll go. But if you can't, I'm staying home.
Yeah, this place in Tampa Bay, Mons Venus, was the place.
There were two rules that I'll tell you when we go to commercial.
All right, well, let's do that right now. We'll be right back.
Makes a tackle, drives it upfield, to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Benjamin Watson!
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to your first 400 with qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4-FORD-10. Ford. Bold moves. Come on, baby, let's go. Size hunger and want the awesome authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks, and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CNS Wholesalers, Big Y, DeMoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Rich Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Hi, this is Clint Dempsey of your New England Revolution. We're headed back to the playoffs for the fifth straight season. Another MLS Cup appearance and our first ever championship is the only goal.
Dempsey, the goal!
Saturday, October 28th at 7:30 p.m., we'll kick off our quest for the cup against Chicago Fire at Gillette Stadium, and we want you there.
New England is revved up for another postseason appearance and a trip back to MLS Cup. Playoff action and soccer passion explodes Saturday, October 28th at Gillette Stadium. Join 2006 Honda Player of the Year Clint Dempsey and the rest of the Revs on the quest for the cup. With tickets starting at just $18, free parking, and free admittance to the interactive soccer theme park soccer celebration, New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable, fun night for the whole family. Don't miss it! Be a part of the playoff passion by calling 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 and get your kicks, get your playoff ticks, and get the Revolution!
All right, back here in PFW Progress. Name that tune, Tom.
I can't. I have it in my head. It would,
I don't know.
It's by a female singer. I know. What's the name of it?
Should that be an email question?
Sure. Anyone know the name of this tune? Email it in. Webradio@patriots.com. We're trying to fill up Tom's iPod. So Tom likes to work out. He's a big workout guy. Lifts a lot of weight, chalks up, wears a singlet.
I don't chalk up.
You know, wears a singlet, the whole thing, you know. You know, claps his hand and makes the dust.
Kick his ass, Loudon.
Before he does the deadlift.
I'm the exact opposite of what Fred is describing.
So he likes to work out. So we need to fill up Tom's iPod with good workout songs. So give us your ultimate playlist of workout songs. And then Tom can pay 99 cents each for them and go broke.
Yeah, I'm already up to like $40.
Well, you know, on the iTunes, they have these things, playlists, that people actually submit their playlists up on iTunes. And, you know, if you like what this guy has as his playlist, you can download it. You know?
Oh, you can for free?
No. You just have to pay for them. The money doesn't go to the individual. It goes to iTunes, but... People, you can upload, if you have a particularly good playlist you're proud of, you can upload it and share it with other people.
If you'd shut up for like 5 minutes, I could think of the name of that song.
Oh, okay.
It's the Buffalo Dance or something, isn't it? Isn't it something like that?
I don't know.
Buffalo Dance. Buffalo Stance.
Buffalo Stance? Okay.
There's a little tie in there.
Joe from China Village says... he's the guy that wants to buy the gift for his friend.
Yeah.
He says a $2,500 chair and a $15,000 bank vault with a Patriots logo. He was my best man at my wedding in June, but come on. You guys smoke your breakfast today? Nice ideas. I like the Three Games to Glory box set with the pins. That's the budget zip code I had in mind. I'll go for that. The chair looks awesome, though. Holy crap. It's now on my gift wish list.
See, don't say you guys, say Fred, because I was the one saying that.
I don't know. I mean, we have all kinds of people in all economic stratospheres that
listen to this show.
I just don't think any friend's good enough to buy a $2,000 chair for. I'm with Joe. I'm with Joe. Get him the box set.
I don't even, you know, I can't even get it for myself. Every time I go to Sharper Image, I always sit in those massage chairs. But I've yet to be in a house with anyone who owns one of those.
No one's ever bought one.
Who's buying all those massage things?
I don't know.
You know? Gary has it. Do you have a massage chair?
I just wonder if you got a happy ending at Brookstone.
I love those massage chairs, but I would never fork out $4,000 for one.
And people are always sitting in them, like,
yeah,
in the store. And
I got the one you just put on your chair, but it's not.
Oh, yeah?
What, I don't know, therapeutics or whatever it's called.
Right, right. I've never met anyone that owns one of those things.
I haven't either.
I have an 11-year-old son. We're in Jordan's Furniture one day, and my wife and I are looking at, you know, a recliner. So the recliners are on this side, and they have these massage chairs, the electronic massage chairs on the other side of the room. So we're talking to the sales guy. I look over, my son's in one of these massage chairs, and the look on his face was like, you know, he was like in a different zone. He's just like, you know, vibrating. It was funny. It had to be.
That's what it does to you. That's what Costanza did it to Costanza.
Right, exactly. Exactly how George looked. That's how he looked. It was funny. P.S. says, Joe, do the Patriots still spend the bye week doing extensive self-scouting? What Patriots tendencies would you try to recognize and take advantage of at this point in the season?
What would the Patriots do? What would I try to?
Yeah, I mean,
I would jam the receivers on every play. Every play. I would not give the receivers any room to run a route, because as soon as they get open, Brady will deliver the ball to them. And I don't think any of them, other than Troy Brown, have proven they can get off the line on a consistent basis. And I've watched teams play off the receivers, and I'm just thinking to myself, if you're going to play off these receivers, do you ever jam at the line? Because when are you going to do it? Not against the Colts.
Yeah.
So that's what I would do against them.
Okay.
Bring a safety up and say, you know what? I don't think you can throw the football.
Yeah.
Prove to me you've had two games that where your run's been totally shut down and you couldn't do nothing. So prove to me you can throw it, and then we'll get our safety out of the box.
Oh, that's good. And I'm sure Bill Belichick's aware of that, so that's something probably. And, yes, the answer to the question is they do still do self-scouting during the bye week, although Bill says they're continually self-scouting.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that they do use that time to kind of go over what they've done so far. The only problem with it, and Bill talked about it last week when, you know, all there was all this bye talk, is that coming after the fifth game, you're working on things, you're trying to get into a rhythm. It's a little better for self-scouting if the bye week comes a little
later.
Plus,
you got to figure, I mean, he knows the team up, you know, backwards, forwards. If they can't, you know, if they can't stop anybody through the air and stuff like that, he pretty much knows that to begin with.
Right.
So he's got a pretty good idea, like you said, throughout the season of what the self-scouting is.
Let's see. Buffalo Stance is the name of that song.
Yep.
Nina Cherry writes in and tells us that. So.
No, that's who sang it.
So this emailer sang the song? We have a... What?
Fred's a little off today.
Who said that?
Today? How do you tell? What's on?
Ben, no, see, now we have all the emailers. Ben also knew from Salem, Mass, that it was Buffalo Stance.
That was Mac in Somerville said it was by Nina Cherry.
Mac in Somerville?
Chances are Andy Hart wouldn't have got it.
No, he would not.
Go.
Took me a while, but
I would have needed the actual Buffalo Stance.
I had it in my head. I just couldn't get the name of it.
Sean McLaughlin says, Tom, I work out to Frank Zappa, Springsteen, and Stone.
What's Frank Zappa?
Who's Stone?
You don't know who Frank Zappa is?
Does he mean the Rolling Stones?
I guess so.
Ugh, God.
Who's Frank Zappa,
I wouldn't
though?
Listen to the Rolling Stones if I was on my deathbed, much less when I'm
working
out.
You don't know Frank Zappa? Well, actually, Frank Zappa died. But he was like this kind of, I don't know, he's a cross between jazz and but he, you know, he had some pretty good songs.
Can you list one?
No.
Okay, let's move on then.
See some Springsteen.
Valley Girl.
I know who Frank Zappa is, but I couldn't name a song.
You ever listen to Fish? Phish?
No.
That's what he sings.
No, I'm not on
if
drugs.
If you listen to Fish, a lot of their songs sound a lot like Frank Zappa.
And he's listening to that while he's working out.
Forget
that's
it.
A bad workout, right?
Now,
I got
your hatred.
Got,
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I got Rob Zombie. I got Disturbed. I got Kid Rock. That's my kind of workout stuff.
But your hatred of the Rolling Stones, is that for lifting purposes or just in general?
I just can't stand seeing them anymore. I said it to Allison last night.
I mean, the day has passed, but the Rolling Stones are great.
I actually don't like any of their songs, to be honest.
I'm a big Rolling Stones fan.
None of their songs.
None.
Under My Thumb.
I used to
Jack Flash.
I used to like Start Me Up a little bit when I was 10, but.
Wow.
I don't like any of their
songs.
Brown
Sugar?
None. Name it. I don't like it.
That's amazing. I'm not even mad.
You know, there's those kinds of groups where they have a sound to them that sometimes you just don't like it. They have a sound that I just don't care for some reason.
Actually, I'm not even.
God knows I'm in the minority because they sell out.
Well, that's how I feel kind of with the Beatles.
Well, you know who I think is overrated, and I know people love them, and they're gonna kill me.
You too.
No, I love you too, but
they're overrated.
They're overrated.
But I think that he's got some good songs, but. As far as a musician and the music itself, Bruce Springsteen is overrated.
You don't like Bruce.
He's okay.
I'm not a huge Bruce Springsteen fan.
This iPod guy. Paul hates Frank Zappa. I hate the Rolling Stones. And Fred hates Bruce Springsteen.
Frank Zappa, I couldn't tell you one thing that Frank Zappa said.
And Andy's never heard of any of them.
Eric says the six-foot rule was fought and ignored by the clubs, and full contact is back in Tampa.
Well, then I'm going to Tampa.
Really?
And Gary, I'm wearing sweatpants.
It took me about 5 seconds to understand what that email was about, and I'm very, very excited. As Gary just saw him, my whole face lit up.
As you can see, it's a Friday here.
Are we going to Tampa?
It's like Paul on Christmas Day.
When are we going to Tampa?
Like a 12-year-old old on Christmas Day.
3 years from now.
Oh. It'll be a while.
Yeah.
But I might take a private flight.
Then. Mons Venus is the greatest one of those establishments I've ever been in.
Well, because I was saying, Paul, they were talking about strip clubs, and
I've never been in it.
Biggest waste of time in the world. If I can't touch them, then I'm not going.
You lying your ass off.
They told me about this place.
Should have gone to Houston.
Oh, yeah?
Puts Houston to shame.
I've never been to the other one, but you seem pretty happy in Houston.
Well, as you can
hear,
Paul and Andy are back.
Talking strip clubs.
Joining us. With
strip joints.
We were talking earlier about Bill Belichick and his...
disdain for the 90s Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, really.
Except for the team his team beat, which was the greatest team in the history of football.
It was actually his disdain for the 91 to 93 Bills. You know, he was pretty affectionate when it came to the 90 Bills.
Amazing they got so much worse after that season.
But I think overall he's just saying that don't talk to me about teams that haven't won it, you know, because
I've won it.
No,
I agree. There's one champion. That's it. I mean, me and Andy, like I said, we're talking before. What the Bills did, yeah, that's great and everything, but... You know, you go four times, you should win one of them.
But I agree that's what the Patriots have done, obviously, more impressive. But all I'm saying is, like, a team that goes once, wins it, and then isn't really good again, I think it's more impressive to go to four Super Bowls.
Yeah, I think that losing teams in the Super Bowls are vastly underrated.
But that four Super Bowl stretch,
I'm not saying they're
does that say more about the lack of competition in the AFC at the time?
Yeah, but they were still the best, and I just think it's hard to go 4 years in a row.
No, I don't think so, Fred, because I think there was some good. I think the NFC at that time was vastly superior than the AFC, but I don't think the AFC was not competitive. I mean, John Elway had some good teams in Denver, and Pittsburgh is almost always good, and there were teams in Miami with Marino. I mean, there was competition.
It just seemed back then it was Dallas, San Francisco.
The NFC was better.
The NFC played a more physical brand of football. That's why when the Bills got into the Super Bowl against those teams, they just ran right over them. I mean, all four of those teams ran the Bills right out of the building with power and strength, and that they were just more physical in the NFC back then. And then it kind of took that change to now where we're at now, where the AFC is a little bit better.
It took Parcells and Belichick to go to the AFC.
Parcells and the NFC.
I'm very proud of you
NFC
for that
stinks.
Statement. At that time, Fred, you could probably make an argument that any team in the NFC East, except for the Cardinals, who were in the East at the time,
that's true,
could have won the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had
the Giants,
some of those teams didn't even make the playoffs.
Right. They had some of the
but
best
the Giants, the Redskins,
saw.
And the Cowboys. I mean, I know not always all at the same time, because I know the Cowboys had that down period, late 80s, early 90s, before Jimmy Johnson got his whole program intact, but those teams would have all won the AFC, and some of them didn't even make the playoffs in individual years.
Songs for Tom. I don't know if I've never heard either of these. Down with the Sickness by Disturbed.
We got it.
Is that a good one?
Yeah, by the way, Andy, I don't know if you like Disturbed, but do you?
He is Disturbed.
Do you like Disturbed? I like Disturbed, but I decided to download the ones that the explicit, the swearing ones. You might not want to do that with Disturbed. I found out where they got their name from. just as a sidebar, download the ones without the dirty words when it comes to Disturbed. Trust me.
I mean, it was so bad that it even offended you?
I was at the track the other day, and I was playing it, and I was getting a little nervous. That's how bad it was.
Another one, New Millennium Cyanide Christ by Meshuggah.
Meshuggah. All right, I don't know that one. I'll have to try that one out.
I don't even know what he just said.
Okay. You never heard of them?
No, but I do have the Disturbed
one. That guy sounds pretty hardcore.
How is the Disturbed one? It really gets you going?
Yeah, Disturbed is like Rob Zombie.
You'd be squatting up a storm.
Yeah. All Disturbed songs are very, you know, fast and hard.
Rob's up.
Would I be able to get like 135 up if I was listening to this music?
No.
No?
I didn't say it was a crane.
Andy?
What?
You don't start.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, Fred.
But I'm not as mad at him as I am you, just so you know.
We have a no tolerance.
Why? What did I say that was any different than what they say? TG and NJ writes in, yo, A-Team, what's the chances that the Patriots have no inclination to go to field turf?
How did he know Paul and I were coming down?
And just use the latest news that they wanted to replace the grass sand as a way to dodge the subject and get the league and Polian off their backs.
Well, I don't think they're guaranteed to go to field turf, are they?
Well, the whole thing
There's
started.
Been no guarantee.
I'll tell you how this whole thing started. Was it last Saturday or the Saturday before? I was listening to EEI, and this woman from Maine called up, and she said that she knew somebody.
She called our show.
Were you on the show?
Yeah, thanks.
Our show.
She wow. called up, and she said she knew somebody who worked for a company, a field
you
company.
You walked into that one, Paul.
In Maine,
sorry.
And
but
that
it is
they
our
had
show.
Been contacted by the Patriots. So then everyone put two and two together and assumed, oh, Field Turf is located in Maine. That must be the company.
No. Well, that woman from Maine, I'm telling you that what the woman from Maine said is that she had someone who had a contract to do the sod, not Field Turf. She ended up being wrong because evidently, according to an AP report, the company is in Delaware, not Maine.
The sod company.
That they're using. But she was talking about natural grass.
Because the Field Turf thing that owns the New England region the rights to is in Maine.
Right.
I read that
right.
guy's quotes in one of those stories.
Right.
But Nesson reported it Saturday morning.
Right. Unless you're talking, Fred, maybe a different woman from Maine, which is always a possibility. Maybe on Saturday there was a different woman that you heard, and on Sunday. Because the woman that called our show, yes, it is our
but
show.
It wasn't.
I'm part of that.
It wasn't game day. Oh, maybe it was.
But we were on a bye.
You were on. That's right. That's right.
There was a woman from Maine who called and said that she's involved with someone who's in charge of a company in Maine who has been contracted by the Patriots, and we wouldn't let her say the name of the company on, you know, blah, 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 and all that stuff. But and it was natural grass.
Listen, just no, get George
but Andy's
Coleman
right.
in here.
Andy's right. The original was a Nesson report that came on, originally aired Friday night, late night, and then early Saturday morning that said the Patriots were going to install field turf before the Chicago Bears game.
And it's weird because the only reason I was watching is because the hot woman was hosting. What's her name? Catherine Tappa?
Tappan.
I'd like to be. I won't say it.
Good restraint once again by Andy.
So let's see. TG also says, so Tom wouldn't listen to the Stones if he was dead, but would he listen to them if they were dead?
They are
no,
dead.
No, I'd be happy.
Why? You don't like them that much, huh?
I'm so sick and tired of watching those old men run and jump around the stage and hearing people talking about how great the Stones are.
What about the music?
Going down and seeing the people.
What
the
about the music, though? I think that's the point of the evening.
I don't like it. Did you miss the point where I said I didn't like any of their songs?
Well, you're just fixating on their looks and their age, and I didn't
no,
know if you liked
That's
their
how
music.
The hatred built, though, because I didn't like their music.
Okay.
And they're still around. Like, if I didn't like their music and they stopped, like, 15 years ago like they should have, I wouldn't be this angry at them.
Angry
at the world.
Speaking of angry, Paul, while we're all here, why are you angry at me?
I'm not angry.
But what? No. Why did I?
I said my piece. I put it in the past. I want to look. I don't think it's time to look at the past. It's time to look ahead.
No one's ever accused you of taking.
I'm not here to talk about the past.
All right. Well, I just thought this would be a good time.
You know how I'm always
might be a little therapeutic for you.
always unwilling to name people and say he did not take steroids. Paul, you're pretty high on my list.
I guess it's open season on Paul again. I don't know.
It never closed. I don't know what you were watching for the last 3 days.
Then why you get mad at me?
I was mad at you that day.
For
I'm
what?
I'm not mad at you forever.
For what?
For a couple of things that you said.
But making fun of you?
Yes.
But why can Andy make fun of you and I can't?
First of all, I get mad at Andy all the time.
Okay.
It's true.
For things that he makes fun of me about. All the time.
I just don't know if you've noticed. I don't know when to stop. I don't pick up on those things.
Andy's the only guy that can go to do his radio gigs every single day during the course of a week and make fun of someone else for doing it once.
It's the beauty of me.
Okay. All right. So really, it's just...
But it doesn't mean that we're mad at each other for the rest of our lives.
All right.
I'm mad at the both of you. I don't have any radio gigs.
See, now, Tom has the good sense to at least make fun of me behind my back, so I don't hear him all.
Wow. That's a shot, though, Tom.
No, it's not.
He's nodding his head. Yeah, I do stab him
I know,
in the back.
I know he makes fun of me more than I hear, because I hear his subtle little comments. But at least he doesn't make a big deal out of it.
Are you making a list?
I'm on the list. If anybody's making
list,
if anybody's making list, Brad, I'm one of the first to go. Let's face it.
Paul might have. Paul might be one of those closet guys with the list. You know, well,
Gary's the closet guy.
He came out a long time ago.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
All right. Web radio.
Break.
Web radio at patriots.com is email address. Let's take a break. Of course, in the second hour, I think Felger's coming by, and if he does, we'll all make fun of him.
Breaks the tackle, drives to the field, to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Benjamin Watson!
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver, face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to your first 400 with qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords, 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on.
Hunger and want the awesome authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks, and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CNS Wholesalers, Big Y, DeMuda's Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Hi, this is Clint Dempsey of your New England Revolution. We're headed back to the playoffs for the fifth straight season. Another MLS Cup appearance and our first ever championship is the only goal.
Dempsey, and a goal!
Saturday, October 28th at 7:30 p.m. We'll kick off our quest for the Cup against Chicago Fire at Gillette Stadium, and we want you there.
New England is revved up for another postseason appearance and a trip back to MLS Cup. Playoff action and soccer passion explodes Saturday, October 28th at Gillette Stadium. Join 2006 Honda Player of the Year Clint Dempsey and the rest of the Revs on the quest for the Cup. With tickets starting at just $18, free parking, and free admittance to the interactive soccer theme park soccer celebration, New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable, fun night for the whole family. Don't miss it! Be a part of the playoff passion by calling 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 and get your kicks, get your playoff ticks, and get the Revolution! This is PFW in progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Do you know who I am? I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books. And my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words, Andy was the balls.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
And some guy named Tom.
People seem to like me because I am polite, and I'm rarely late. I like to eat ice cream, and I really enjoy a nice pair of slacks. Years later, a doctor will tell me that I have an IQ of 48 and am what some people call mentally retarded.
PFW in progress.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight. Afternoon delight. Afternoon delight.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Mike Felger was just here. I don't know where he went. Go to the potty?
Probably.
He's set up his computer, so he's going to be joining us.
Fasten your seatbelt.
Fascinating topic.
It's pee-pee time.
Is Felger at the potty?
Fred Kirsch, Tom Casale, Andy Hart, Paul Perillo with you until 2 o'clock. Email address is webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. This next email is appropriate for Mike to be here because it regards some of it regards his show. So let me read this. This is from Mike.
So Fred will just leave dead air until Mike gets to his microphone.
He says, being an ex-season ticket holder and diehard fan who traces my Pats fanaticism back to the Butch Songin and Vito Bay Perilli era, I'm desperate for some advice from you media mavens at PFW.
Thanks, babe.
The only way I've survived the past 16 years down here on Tobacco Road was, one, the arrival of internet and the streaming of your show, and two, DirecTV with access to NFL Ticket, NESN, and Fox Sports New England. But now, there is a new disturbance in the force. After the second week of the season, Fox Sports New England started blacking out the New England tailgate and four downs with Felger TV shows on Thursday night. All I can say is, thank God your show is next on that list, is not next on that list. Can you give me some insight as to why this is being done? I can't get any answers from DirecTV or Fox Sports Net. Is this something to do with the rights dispute with the NFL? Why are all the other NFL analysis shows on Fox Sports Net still broadcasted? How can I find out the reason for this blackout? Or who can I register a complaint with? And by the way, my wife has replaced yelling at Smirlis and Diassi on the tube with pointing at the PC speakers and yelling at you guys. So keep up the great work. Well, Mike's here.
I can give you a full answer.
Okay.
If you want it, it's sort of complicated, but I can give it to you.
Well, it has to do with teams not competing with other teams in their geography, right?
Wrong.
Okay.
Ooh.
Wow.
Down goes
Cash. Wow. Well, give us the answer,
I mean,
Mike.
Listen. Only round's going to Felger. I mean, I would never, ever come up with this unless I was told by the Mucky Mucks at FSN. Give me a break. It all has to do with HBO's Inside the NFL.
okay, inside the NFL on HBO has the exclusive cable rights for highlights,
right?
Nationwide highlights on a weekly magazine show. Okay,
that's it.
You cannot have a weekly magazine show on cable that shows a highlights from last week's game. So if you watch Tailgate or Four Downs with Felger, you will notice that every highlight shown is from either 2 weeks before or right. last season.
That even affects Patriots Video News, by the way.
You cannot use highlights from, but it shouldn't. And now there's a difference. There's a difference between weekly magazine shows and a nightly news show. For example, right. New England Sports Tonight, Mohegan Sun's New England Sports Tonight, is a nightly news show.
Right.
So
a
that was really interesting.
So no. a news show, well, they asked, I mean, do you want me to stop or do you want me to keep going?
I think Mike
what are you, Paul Perillo, getting all sensitive over there?
I'm going to say, I'm the one who takes my ball and goes
home. Don't
listen
to that man behind the glass. Don't let him bother you.
If you want me to answer, I'll answer. If you don't,
I don't care. Clip that was played by Gary. Don't get so defensive. Come on.
Nest is a nightly news show, so you can show highlights from anything. It's part of the fair usage rules.
Mike, our show that we're both a part of, our show, that's not called Nest anymore. It's Mohegan Sun Sports Tonight.
Whatever it is.
Okay. Just want to make sure you take care of the sponsors.
But if it's a week, because we've gotten a lot of emails on it, why can't we see Four Downs with Felger in Peoria, Illinois? Because it's part of those rules. So the two restrictions are you can't show highlights from the previous week, and the second restriction is if you're a weekly magazine show, you can't show NFL highlights of any kind in an out-of-town market. So you can only get Tailgate and Four Downs with Felger in the New England market. Out of market, you can't get it, but you can get the nightly news show because the nightly news shows are treated differently than the weekly magazine shows. That's why your PVN, if it's nightly and is a news show, which it is, should be able to air whatever highlight it wants.
Well, the thing about, we get what they call the Week in Review, the WIR, clips from
it's amazing.
Dreadful radio.
Well, but why ask the question then?
No, not your
problem. No, not
I'm
you.
Talking about Fred.
Where's he going now? The question was answered.
I should say, listen, DirecTV, they flat out lie to you. I bought a DirecTV in 1994, still have the receipt for $800, got the NFL Sunday ticket. Someone made a bet with me that the NFL Sunday ticket didn't come out until 1998. I called them five times. They all said they didn't start carrying the NFL Sunday ticket till 1999. So I said, why are you lying to me? I said, I have a goddamn receipt right here. I said, you people are lying to me on the phone. So finally they got a manager on there, and he said, you're right. We started carrying it in 1994. So they will lie. DirecTV is one of the worst companies of all time. Second thing, I watch Four Downs with Felger every week,
my
and
boy.
You people aren't missing anything.
Oh!
Stop emailing him and complaining.
I know there's no reason whatsoever for me to have been surprised by that, but I really thought he was going to give Mike a compliment right there.
No way. Wait, Fred, if we're going to be boring here, does our show have highlights? Patriots Football Weekly on New England Cable News?
Yes.
From the previous game?
It shouldn't.
Yeah.
So we're breaking a rule.
No, because that's a weekly show. And, in fact, you guys showed clips of the Albert Haynesworth play that week, and I had people at my place say, they did that on deck, and they're not supposed to. Someone's going to blow the whistle.
But I think maybe because they slotted in as sports late night.
Yeah, it was sort of like in that voice. Yeah, it was.
Fred, are we going to get in trouble?
No.
You're not going to fall for
I just don't think anyone cares
night.
About our show.
I think, obviously, because we are the team, we get a little bit of slack that they don't. But I will say, before you were so rudely cut me off, that even with the Week in Review tapes that we get from the NFL films that are used on Brian's show...
Boy, even Fred can't get it out.
We're not allowed to use it in its entirety, unless we wait until the week after.
The answer to the email question: there's all sorts of crazy rules that prevent us from showing it out of market.
And a lot of them are good for the sake of.
Oh yeah,
the
it's
teams.
Great. Yeah, let's restrict people's right to watch Four Downs of Felger. That's a great rule.
Mike doesn't like it, but you know.
But seriously, you just made the comment that it's a good rule.
Yeah,
for
who?
Why is it a
who?
Good rule?
So Kraft makes more money. What
for the millionaires?
That should
making
not
more
be
money.
Our concern.
One of the things that the league has to do is they have to start re-strategizing the whole content thing. A lot of this was based back when all people had was TV.
Well, see, the whole thing is...
And now with the emergence of cable and satellite and downloaded film, they have to redo this. So they are antiquated. But
because back in the day, Fred, Inside the NFL on HBO, it was a great show. We watched it. It was the one place midweek to get all those highlights and the NFL films and all those things. But that ship has sailed, man. You get that anywhere now. There's no reason to protect a program like that.
Well, I mean,
except for they paid for it at some
point. Exactly. Right now it's a contract. But they have to stop writing these contracts that allow for that and give HBO something else that they're willing to pay for.
Screw HBO.
My point is, why deprive...
Well, how much does Fox Sports Net pay the NFL? Nothing. So why should they care about you?
Because more people watch us. We're more relevant.
Oh. I don't know. I don't know if you know, Felger, but the NFL's hurting for money.
Well, no. I mean, we're more relevant to Patriots fans.
$500 billion industry.
All we care about is Patriots fans. Screw the rest. I don't care about anyone else.
And I just think you're depriving opportunities for people around the country to see their team.
Yep. Bingo.
Because if you're out of the market, you know, even if it's a small percentage, and I know it's not as much money, you know, for the league umbrella, but I think in the long run, you're depriving some of your fans
Mike,
the opportunity.
Why doesn't Fox Sports Net put the show up on their internet for download? Then people can
they
download.
They do. You can. Okay. Like, when I do an interview, they'll put the whole thing up there. And
well, not just the interview. I mean the whole show.
I don't know if they can do that.
Make it a podcast.
Well, they can only do clips.
Do it until you get slapped and then stop.
Oh, yeah. It might be the
you
same.
May like getting slapped, Fred. I've heard that. But I don't think over at FSN they're looking for any slappage.
Well, you know, hey, we didn't know. We're just, you know.
How far do you think ignorance takes you in life?
Hey, apparently,
look where
far.
He is. He's the executive director of new content.
The way I always work is I'd rather ask for forgiveness than ask for permission. Beg for forgiveness than ask for permission. You know? Because
ignorance of the law is not a defense, so.
Well, it's not a law.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is
no way
to go through
life. No one's going
to
put you in jail, Mike. It's not a law. All right. Eric says, let's see, this is for Tom. You can see the new video for New Millennium Sinai Christ on YouTube.
Okay.
He gives you the link. Watch the entire video. I guarantee, Tom, then download the song. And also, I guess this is for Paul. David Ball is the same height, weight, and 40 as Jerry Rice. Ball in the NFL, bank on it.
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up because we talked about it. I talked to my coach source, who, by the way,
well, Rice wasn't fast.
He is a little bigger than I thought. He's like 6'2", 6'3", so he's a little bit bigger than I thought. However, the coach told me definitively, in his opinion, not a prospect.
Okay.
Both he and the quarterback, they're both a little bit bigger than I gave them credit for. So I'm glad that you brought that up. I meant to mention.
So why isn't it because of speed?
Yeah, well, I don't know what his 40 time is, but I've watched this guy play.
He's not as fast as Jerry Rice.
He's not as fast as Jerry Rice.
No way.
Jerry Rice wasn't considered fast.
But he had
he was fast
speed.
Enough.
Football speed.
Yeah.
Michael Irvin wasn't fast.
David Ball was faster
than Michael Irvin?
These guys,
but I'm just saying to compare, I mean, that's not how you compare Jerry Rice. You don't say he wasn't as fast as Rice was ever.
Right.
Fast
it's like, I understand what Felge's point is, but these guys are both going to end up in camp somewhere. I just don't think they're going to get a legitimate shot to make the club.
Are these Northeastern guys?
No, UNH guys.
UNH. New Hampshire.
Whatever. Same diff.
Well, there's a guy named David. There's a guy named David Ball who just broke Jerry Rice's record for touchdown receptions at the 1AA level.
Oh, is that right?
Michael, you have a show, a daily radio show.
I don't have the time.
He wants to be national. He doesn't know what's going on in New England.
And all I ever hear you say is, we're talking football, damn it. This is football. You should know a little something about something.
It's pro football. There's no college football allowed.
It's
certainly
just the Patriots.
Not 1-2A. Basically, yeah.
Okay. 1-2A.
College football allowed.
1-2A. Or is it 1-A? Whatever.
They call it 1-AA.
What's the diff? Give me a break.
This is the guy who just sailed past me at the Herald, by the way. Just sailed right by me.
Oh, Brian in Colorado. Rob Zombie is great, Tom. If you like to listen to someone gargle while their kids throw their pot and pan collection around in the kitchen, throw on Fish's Maze during one of your workouts.
Up. Shut up.
For different things.
He asked for workout music.
Stop that email right now. Fish sucks. They've always sucked. Obviously, this guy smokes weed. It's the only people who listen to Fish. I don't want to hear another word from this email.
So
the only person around here that listens to Fish is our intern, Kyle.
I'm going to say, so you're telling me Kyle listens to Fish?
So, we know he smokes weed.
I don't want to listen to a song that has four words and then 70 minutes of someone playing the guitar while you can smoke a bong or do whatever it is. So I take it you don't like the Grateful Dead.
Look at that douchebag.
But Fish is the worst. I don't want to hear another one.
Don't trash the dead in front of Felge.
That douchebag.
Then we'll be fighting words.
It's okay, you can trash him as much as you want.
Brian, let's get over to football. He says, I give Gabriel 2 more weeks, and he's off my fantasy team. How is Richard Marshall doing with Carolina? Is it looking like he may have a better pick in the second round? Or may have been a better pick in the second round?
Well, he's starting.
He's playing a lot. I saw him. He's been involved in at least a couple of turnovers. I saw him either with an interception last week. I know he returned one against Cleveland, but he was involved in another turnover last week against
State corner.
Yeah, against the Eagles. He had another play. I don't know if it was a fumble recovery or.
Is this a comparison to Chad Jackson? Is that what
he said
for
Gabriel,
a Patriots?
But
yeah, but then he said, is he a better second round pick? Is he comparing him to the Chad Jackson?
Right. He was talking about Gabriel, and then he started talking about a pick.
I'd say Chad Jackson has bigger upside, but Richard Marshall might end up being a better pick.
Okay.
Brad Jackson's done nothing.
Do you allow that, Fred?
What's that?
That sort of dissent, that sort of anti-patriot vitriol.
This is
the truth.
This is the first time that all four of us have been here with Felge. He's in for a rude awakening. We don't let Fred get away with a lot.
Let's see. Thank God for me, though. Hey, Tom, he says.
The voice of reason.
I suggest if you have Kid Rock, Disturbed, and Rob Zombie, another local musician, Kill Switch Engage.
These guys are getting crazy.
Also consider Stone.
Well, I'll tell you, that first hour that Andy and I did yesterday is really looking worse and worse every day. What the hell did you guys talk about?
Did you only talk about iPods and what songs you can download?
I mentioned what I had on my iPod.
Yeah, and we did it like this with a gay hand movement.
Hey.
Also consider Stone Sour, Bullet for My Valentine, in Atreyu. Try going on Pandora.com. Punch in Disturbed and listen to all the possibilities. It's free. And by the way, wish the Monadnock Marauders luck in the NEFL Pioneer Division Championships this weekend.
What are you doing with them, Felge?
Paul, you can fill us in on that.
And
right?
Fred, you can never criticize us again. You're talking minor league football and music and Pandora's box and all kinds of stuff.
Not even mainstream music.
we're email driven.
I don't know a name of a group that anyone's mentioned to me other than Disturbed. I have no idea.
And that's for obvious reasons. Didn't
that person just say a local musician? Well, can you get local musicians on iTunes? Isn't this the idea here, to get you music on your iPod, even if we're going to play this game?
You can get anything you want on iTunes.
Oh, you can't.
No, you can't. I couldn't get Butthole Surfers when I went looking for a song.
What I'm saying is you can go to another site like this Pandora, download it, and put it on your iPod.
I don't know how to do that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we only do iTunes.
Eric writes in, and the subject line says, Kirk Herbstreit agrees with Tom. He says, in Pee Wee football, if a player weighs too much, he is not allowed to play wide receiver because he'll just run over the rest of the kids. Calvin Johnson looks like a man among boys. For the sake of Georgia Tech's opponents, they should institute peewee rules in college football so defenses don't have to battle wide receiver Calvin Johnson. Johnson is one of the most imposing receivers I've ever seen. He and Oklahoma running back Adrian Peterson are physically the best players in the nation. And with Peterson out for the season with a broken collarbone, Johnson's chance for challenging Heisman Trophy favorite Troy Smith just improved dramatically. So he's just saying that the Pats need to trade our entire draft for this guy. Just
kidding.
Great.
So we'll add another receiver. About Peterson, I saw some, he thinks he might be able to come back for a bowl game.
No, he'll be back next week. It's just it's just a broken collarbone. Guys tear their knees. They're back in like, what, 3-4 weeks now?
But do you think it's a good idea?
For Louisville was back in 3 weeks.
But do you think it's a good idea?
I don't see any reason why he wouldn't be able to be back in time for his bowl game. I mean, you're talking.
Is it a good idea?
Two plus
what if he
months.
Gets hurt again?
But it's just a Terry Glenn.
Well, I thought originally they said out for the season.
No, they did.
They did.
No question.
So what's
right.
changed?
Nothing, but
medical
even
science,
when I,
apparently.
Even when I saw the report, I started thinking, I mean, I broke my collarbone in the fourth game of a high school season and was ready to play on Thanksgiving. So why shouldn't he be able to do it?
Get the Rudy music going.
Sorry, he had this smirk on his face in the background while you were talking.
I just don't see why you shouldn't be able to come back and play.
Coach said that he might be able to come back for the bowl game.
I mean, we're talking the middle of October to a potential January game.
Maybe late December, Fred said we won't put him in any danger by putting him in a bowl game. So they were saying that we're not going to force him back, knowing that he has a...
So taking that
NFL
a step further, he could be in danger coming back for a bowl game?
They just said they wouldn't put him in danger.
So obviously,
like,
if he's going
to
be in danger, he won't
soon.
Play.
Yeah. You have to see how he. Yeah, I mean, you know.
I don't know, but he's got a lot of money riding on it.
Okay.
I just think it's just a collarbone. It's not like he's got a partially torn ligament that if he plays with, he could tear it all the way and cost him
money. I think there's no bad injuries anymore. He'd be back in a couple of weeks.
That's it. We're trying to have a discussion here, and you're just
I'm
talking
just
nonsense.
Joe Rom played last week.
Who did?
The quarterback
Brian
for Louisville, who was supposed to be out like 6 weeks.
Felge will give you the scouting report on him. Brian Brom, Felge, you know him?
Is he a 1A player or a 2A player?
He's 1A. He's quarterback for an undefeated team.
A 1-2A player.
Joe is from China Village, Maine, Mike, and he has a question for you. After hearing 32,000 inside jokes about your first name on the radio and TV in the last month, I guess I have to ask, what's the deal with your name?
Michael? Mike?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
About your first name.
Douchebag.
Were there a lot of jokes?
What inside joke? I don't know what inside
joke. I don't
know,
Joe. You're going to have to expound on that.
I mean, I've been Michael for a while, and we started the radio show, and they're like, how do you want it to sound? I'm like, the Michael Felger Show? The Mike Felger Show. What's easier to say? The Mike Felger Show. So I said, say Mike. That's about it.
So now are they making inside jokes about that?
Who's they?
people on your staff?
No.
Do you have a staff?
I was going to say, you have a staff?
No.
Oh, my God, that is funny.
No, we don't have a staff.
How's things going over at ESPN?
The doors are still, when I walk in there, there's still people. We're still on the air. Still people there.
I didn't mean
what
to.
Is it,
again, you don't have to get defensive,
890
Mike.
ESPN.
I'm trying to.
That's
not
defensive. I define success as surviving, not going out of business. I mean, really, there have been a bunch of radio stations that have.
Others define it by ratings.
Right.
High goals.
Felge's right, though. There's been other stations that have tried to make a go as in the all sports talk format and
failed miserably. So, I mean, first things first.
They're still going.
You do have ESPN behind you, right?
First things first.
Yeah.
Let's survive and be viable and remain employed for, a period of time. And then let's worry about ratings and success, making tons of money. Let's make it first.
What kind of support do you get from Bristol?
I don't know what went wrong.
Pretty good support, I think.
So,
we're not technically owned by ESPN.
Oh, you're not?
No, but there's a strong... There's a licensing agreement between the two where we get all of their programming. We get Mortensen on once a week, only once a week during the baseball season. Clayton, we have regular deals with all their personnel.
So other than that licensing, do they have a vested interest in making
you big time.
They
big
do.
Time, no question, because when they go to their national advertisers, they can say we're in Philly, L.A., Chicago, Boston.
Okay.
I mean, they want to have all those top 20 markets on their sales pitch to their national advertisers. If Boston isn't there, who knows? Maybe there's an advertiser with a strong Northeast presence, and they say, well, how come we're not in Boston? So that's sort of the deal. ESPN wants us to succeed very much so.
Okay, well, while we have you here...
You bring in a real radio guy, and Gary gets all excited behind the glass. He's not playing solitaire. He's doing sound bites. He's paying attention.
Who's the real radio
guy? I'm paying solitaire.
You. You. Oh, please.
While we're here,
that's
we've
true.
All, we've all give our,
quasi.
We've all given our predictions for the game this Sunday. What do you see happening in this game?
I think the Pats are going to smoke them.
Yeah?
I do. I mean, I do. I think that I've heard a lot of people say that week one was the week for Buffalo to get at New England. I think that's probably true. Now that they have the film, I think they'll block Takeo Spikes this week if he comes on that weak side blitz. I just think Buffalo's headed in a certain direction, and the Pats are not going to lose these bad teams like I thought they might be.
Well, you actually agree with the staff here. They all think it's going to be a blowout.
I think Tom does well up there usually. He plays well against Buffalo.
Well, except for that one time when the crown was too high.
Right.
They flattened that out.
Mike also thought that that first game, that first week, was going to be close. A lot of people were predicting that one to be a blowout.
Yeah.
I thought it would be easier than it was, certainly. But, Mike, you had it 16-14.
No, I think I had a three-point or two-point game even. Yeah. But, the Pats are a little bit better than I thought they'd be. So, I mean, starting with that. Now, if they have suffered injuries and they have to rely on the depth that I thought was shaky to begin with, then we'll –
guys in particular, Felge, do you think they really can't afford to lose beyond Brady?
54-37. I think those guys have been huge from a setting the defense standpoint, from all those things. I mean, if Eugene Wilson, we've talked a lot about. 93 is vast. I mean, just hugely important. But I mean, I don't think he's even been at his best so far this year. To me, they played so bad through such long stretches last year because blown assignments and they didn't have any sort of rudder.
Well, they didn't get anything going until they moved Rabel inside.
Yeah, and even then, I think Bruschi and Harrison being out there together, the calls, setting the defense, and I also like what they've done. I think it's been pretty clear in talking to some, talking to Els Hobbs and those guys. They've changed how they've covered in the secondary. They've done a lot more press coverage, and if it's not straight man-to-man, it's at least getting on top of the receivers early and being aggressive in the secondary, letting the rush get to the quarterback. So they're playing a little bit differently this year. But I think if they have Harrison and Bruschi the rest of the year, this defense can stay close to its current level, and that means the offense, all those offensive questions we have are sort of moot.
Well, the good news is that I think we all agreed that Harrison probably had his most active game to date last week. And
I think Bruschi was at his best last week.
And
that was a great
Harrison game also agrees. He thought he felt most comfortable in that last game. So that's good news for the Patriots defense.
I asked him a few questions yesterday about that, how close he felt to being Rod. And he just, normal stuff that you would expect him to say, but he really feels like even with every practice, he feels a step closer and he feels better. And the whole knee problem in general is less and less on his mind as it goes on.
He also feels, not that he'll really articulate this in front of a microphone, but he feels that he was allowed to play closer to the line in that Miami game than he has all year. And that's obviously something he wants to be in the box. He wants to be up there rushing the quarterback, blowing up plays at the line. That's what he wants, and he feels that that was the first game plan this year that really allowed him to play in the box.
So but don't you think that's probably a product of Bill seeing him on the field and saying, you know what, I feel a little more comfortable with him up there rather than kind of protecting him early on?
That, and also he feels that there's more confidence in the corners. I think that going into the season and you're, you know, can Hobbs really be, can he continue where he picked up last year? Is Asante really okay to handle guys one-on-one?
Well, by the Miami game, the answer to that question is no.
Well, he actually...
Walker beat him like a rented mule.
But he was playing a different spot. He was playing in the slot. A little change there, and I think that's a difference.
You know what? Wes Welker's a hell of a player. He's a good, quick little player.
He should
be
catching nine passes a game, though.
I don't know. He's Wayne Corbett, man.
You're telling me Wes Welker is a better receiver than Steve Smith? Because Steve Smith doesn't catch nine passes a game.
But it's different. Wes Welker isn't playing as a number one receiver outside.
So you saw him play once, now you think he's great.
No.
That's exactly what's going on. You saw him whoop on Ellis Hobbs, and now you think he's great.
I personally think Wes Welker's a diamond dozen.
The white receiver.
I disagree 1,000%.
He's on Paul's list, right?
No, but I mean,
Kevin Eckstein and all those guys.
This is the kind of guy Troy...
David Eckstein.
Troy Brown, that... Back when Troy Brown was in his prime, you stick him in the slot against a third corner, he tears you up. That's what Wes Welker is. I think he's great in that role. I think he's a great player.
What happens Hobbs when, a third when, corner or a first corner?
Yeah, what happens when Hobbs covers Reggie Wayne?
And
when,
Kevin Folk.
And when Troy Brown was in his prime as the third receiver in the slot, I don't remember him catching nine passes like that.
Well, he had 101 balls one year.
He was not a third receiver in the slot.
I think he played a lot in the slot that year, but you're right. He was primarily the top receiver
when he caught 101 balls.
Believe me, Wes Welker was not based on that game. I knew of Wes Welker. I like Wes Welker. He's quick as hell. He's a good little player.
He's all right.
He's a good little player.
He's a good little player. I think that's more accurate.
Well, we were talking about Harrison. Did you guys get the chance to discuss his being rated the NFL's dirtiest player at all? Any thoughts on that?
We talked about
What's that, Paul Brillo?
I think he probably is.
Yeah.
My man.
I mean, I know I've heard a lot about John Runyon. It's hard to see because he's on
the line. Well, Malway, too, but he's not really playing anymore.
Right.
Those two guys, if you talk to players, I'm sure Felge's probably talked to a lot more of them, you know, kind of off the record and behind the scenes because that's what Felge does.
Yeah, right.
But I bet you, I remember McGinnis used to talk about Runyon all the time. I asked Rodney about it yesterday. He mentioned Runyon. A lot of guys have talked about Kevin Malway in the past.
Sure.
Those guys must be pretty chippy, dirty players.
Plus, they can get away with more at the line of scrimmage and a little pile there. Yeah. All of a sudden, Harrison, when you're on the sideline hitting a guy 3 yards out of bounds, everybody sees it.
To me, it's too bad that, you know, Rodney should have gone to the Pro Bowl more than twice.
Yeah.
And I think that he should receive stronger Hall of Fame consideration than he's going to. Not to say that he's an automatic Hall of Fame. I don't know that. I think he's a borderline guy. But he's been one of the best safeties in the game for a decade. And the fact that there's only been a 2 Pro Bowls because the players won't vote for him, I think, is disgusting. You know, grow a pair. I mean, just because you get hit by the guy doesn't
mean he can't vote for him. He's made all pro teams more often than he's made pro bowl teams. I talked to him about that yesterday, too, and he just laughed.
And
that's too bad. I mean,
he has more. There's only one of them. Yeah.
I mean, he has more what? I mean, those records, some of those numbers with him are great. The only guy in NFL history to have 25 sacks and 30 interceptions. The only guy.
Now, is it true that Peyton Manning was the one who voted for Brady?
I heard it was Jason Taylor.
That's what I guessed.
Dan Klecko.
I guess Jason Taylor because him and Brady are very, very good.
I'm sure it was a joke, but, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think anybody really. I mean, how could anybody think that?
Right.
He was dirty.
Joe expounds on what he was asking you about your name. He said Tanguay and Dickerson spent a lot of FSNE airtime making fun of you.
They do, yes,
changing your name.
That's true. Preference
from Michael to Mike.
That's true.
Okay.
He says, I TiVo your 4 Down show every week. Great stuff. Do you stream the radio show? I need some other options to enjoy your product.
I don't know, Tommy. You know of any other ways to get 4 Downs with Felger? Well, Thursday night, 7:30 FSN.
I watch it every week, Mike.
It's so bad you tune in every week.
No, I actually like it. And I enjoy the part where you bring in the writer from the other team's town and talk with him. I think that's one of the best parts of the show.
You fly a writer in?
Yeah, we do. We have first class
on the phone? You have the little picture on the phone?
There's a tweeter two-way. Hi-ho.
What the hell is that?
It's a little two-way.
On the TV.
Yeah, we talk to a...
You're two-way. Sounds like something out of one of Paul's videos.
No, the two box.
I don't get it.
You know, you.
So he's in another city, though, on camera.
On satellite, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, you guys got a budget, huh?
Well, no. Those guys do it for free.
You guys give away, like, party gifts to your...
I don't know what they do behind the scenes. I just know...
My question is, can you get Paul on? Because it's the only show he's not on.
No, see, the thing
I'm not part of 4 Downs.
No, 4 Downs...
I know you're not. I'm trying to get you on. I'm trying to get you a gig.
To me, the best part of 4 Downs...
How about Tom? Can you get Tom on? Because he's...
Tom, Tom would be a candidate. We want different voices. You don't see Russ Francis anywhere. You don't see Ron Borges. Hardly anywhere. disagree.
I agree with Fred totally.
No, but the thing with
he's a bigger homer than Fred Kirsch. He makes Fred look objective.
Gorgeous, you see everywhere. Gorgeous is phenomenal in those settings. It's too bad that that whole spat with the Globe limits all their places to go.
What do you do when you got a...
And the guy like you had on from New York was talking about Kerry Rhodes, the safety. You know, and I knew of him, but I didn't know he was quite as good. And he was, you know, being in this town, you don't know every player from every other team. And then he ends up making that big sack on Brady. So I think that's
three
good
straight
how
weeks,
you bring in those guys and they talk about the other team. Yeah.
Three straight weeks.
Well, I think you should have Tom on. And Tom, I get 10%.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
He just said they don't get it.
10% of nothing. 10%
No,
the guys who come in, the guys who come in studio get.
If
get
he
paid.
Gets a coupon to a restaurant, I get.
You
I get
two
an
are
going to
go out to dinner together.
I get an app.
A coupon.
You get a wing.
Paul Perillo,
let me know when I get a raise.
TG, with Felge on, are you guys now the double A team, or does it make it an A minus? I know it's early, but which current NFL coaches do you think will be not coaching next year? And would Belichick ever bring in an experienced offensive coordinator from outside the organization? Love the banner. Tom is more than right. The Stones and Fish both suck.
I don't think, you know, Romeo Crennel, would he want to come and be a defensive line coach? I mean, I don't think Dean Pease is going anywhere as defensive coordinator.
Wow. You just had Romeo Crennel not only fired
Cleveland. I mean, how much longer can he last?
By taking a demotion back to the defensive line coach.
I mean, realistically, though, how much
coaching Pop Warner pretty
You really think they'd make him the defensive line coach, not assistant head coach defense?
Well, I mean, when Belichick was fired from Cleveland, he came back and was a secondary coach.
But he was
assistant head coach, secondary.
All right, so maybe they do that with Rack, but I mean, I don't know. Would he rather be that or full-on D coordinator?
And he was the defensive coordinator.
But he's talking about offensive coordinator. Did I say defensive?
He didn't call the plays.
He was the defensive coordinator and everything.
Well, there was a lot of new coaches.
He didn't call plays on game day.
I can tell you the one that he called.
The what?
I can tell you one that he called.
Which one did he call, Paul?
I can tell you one that he had in Super Bowl 31. He was the one who had Lawyer Malloy one-on-one with either Risen or who's the other one that caught the ball?
Yeah, Freeman.
Antonio
Freeman. Yeah. That's not what I've heard, but, you know.
Well, you know, because I know three Super Bowl titles tends to change past history a lot.
Wow. Bitter.
Are you blaming that loss to the Packers on Belichick now?
As opposed to the big fat guy making hundreds of hours of calls to another
team.
But
it is the only Super Bowl defense ever to allow three plays of 60 yards or more for touchdowns in the Super Bowl.
It is what it is.
But, you know, you can blame it on whatever way you choose.
And obviously don't bring up Al Grove because he wasn't, Lord knows, he wasn't the defensive coordinator.
Right. Or Mike Sweatman on special teams to let Desmond Howard run up the field.
Why would the assistant head coach have anything to do with what was going on in
defense? It was clearly assistant head coach's decision to bench Troy Brown for the only time that whole season and play Hassan Graham and then put Hassan Graham in Troy Brown's spot on the kickoff team, and it wasn't Hassan Graham that blew the tackle on Desmond Howard.
May have gotten a fingernail on Desmond Howard's cleat as he ran by. To make the leap that Troy Brown would have made the tackle.
Go back and watch it. Hassan Graham.
I've watched that a million times.
Totally ran out of his lane. That was Troy Brown's
lane. Believe
me, I've
watched that game a few times.
Troy Brown plays
that
game.
Touch him, Paul, doesn't mean he shouldn't have been there.
But you're talking about blowing the tackle when he barely even
was
there.
It was assignment.
He's not even in the picture.
He blew his assignment. We'll go back and watch it together, Paulie Paul.
Two bombs for touchdowns game.
Al Grove screwed it up.
81-yard touchdown. Was a Super Bowl record until Carolina did that against the Patriots.
Brett Favre.
Against that same defensive genius.
But TG's talking about
people
offensive
think they got gorgeous in the studio.
He's good,
too.
Yeah. Do you think the Patriots would ever bring in, ask TG,
how do
an
you know,
experienced
why don't you bring up that?
Coordinator.
Why don't you talk like that when you're on other media outlets?
I don't get it.
Well, you know.
Paul knows how to play the game.
All depends on how the angles are, you know.
I don't get it.
It depends on how you look at the map.
I don't get it. The EEI shows need a voice like that, man.
It's really weird. We treat this show differently, even though it goes out over the World Wide Web and anybody could hear it.
It's really weird.
We pretend we're just talking to ourselves in here. And yet we've never been called on it.
Meanwhile, we really should get a keg in there, Fred.
Meanwhile, we're being monitored by Pravda.
But apparently we're not, because otherwise we'd be gone by now.
It's all conjecture, Felge. You can't nail it down here as to what I said. It's on the latency
podcast,
of the internet.
You can get it anytime you want.
I like it.
Let's see. Webradio@patriots.com. The emails are just flying in here. Let's see. This is from Zeus from Rancho Mirage, California.
Zeus.
Hey, Tom. Rob Zombie is a genius. You need to pick up his DVD of all his videos. He directs and produces of them. He tours quite frequently, and I saw him again last month in Vegas with Godsmack. What a great Massachusetts 1-2 punch. These bands talk all about Rob Zombie.
These people are getting the wrong impression of me.
Rob Zombie, first of all, scares me, and I would never go to one of his concerts, because the only thing scarier than him are the people that go to those concerts. I just like his songs to work out to.
Okay.
So, like, me at a Rob Zombie concert, I don't think that's a good mix.
Gary, why'd you fade that down?
She's hot, too.
Were you getting uncomfortable?
I'm more of a Billy Joel concert type of guy.
Okay. He says, my predictions for this year, one, I think this is the Bears'
that is
year.
So gay.
But New England, fresh with two first-round draft picks, goes back to the Super Bowl next year. Maroney gets Rookie of the Year this year. Keep up the great work.
Well, if Mike Felger's so sure that the keys to this team are Teddy Bruschi and Rodney Harrison and they're getting older, how do you necessarily expect they're going to be that much better next
that's
year?
That's what TG said. That's not what Mike
Felger's addressing TG.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think overall
he doesn't agree with what Mike Felger said.
I don't think they've loaded up to win it all any year, and that's sort of a disappointment.
But no, do you think they'll be better next year because they have two first-round picks? And
no, God, no.
Loaded up.
I mean, not because of that. They may be better for other reasons, but not because they have two first-round picks.
Oh, that's down the road.
Although, I still think when they draft first-round guys, it's usually a starter. It's usually a guy that's going to come in and contribute pretty darn quickly.
Okay. My question is, how long does Bill Belichick have as the head coach?
Oh, no, that was the second part of the Romeo thing. That's the interesting part.
China.
Well, it's a good point, but and it came up with.
Don't get me started.
Name is me.
He resigns the week before and changes his mind the week after.
I say he's the first coach ever on DUP.
Well, no disrespect to the Orientals.
It came with that Charlie Weiss news, at Notre Dame. Wouldn't you think he would be, especially if Brady's still playing? Wouldn't Charlie Weiss be the natural?
Please, God, no.
You don't like him?
No.
I love Charlie. Why?
I don't trust them.
It's fun.
I mean, this whole thing last week with a number of teams have been calling him. You don't think that he manipulated
sure,
that out there?
Of course.
That's how he operates.
Oh, my God.
One. But that's, and a two.
What?
And a three.
I don't think it was hidden. I think they came right out and said that he's the one who made it public.
I mean, I what coach is...
Right, okay, but you made it sound like he was manipulating something or whatever.
But he wants that out there. No.
Yeah, he came out and said
so if I'm Notre Dame, do I appreciate that? I mean,
that ship has sailed, bro. I mean,
oh, come on.
If you expect your coach not to manipulate things, I mean,
why is he
Paul
manipulating?
About this guy.
So he gets more offers.
Sure, of course.
Wait, why can't you just explain it?
Ask Paul.
Why do you got to put my job in jeopardy?
I mean, they're all manipulators to some degree. Are you crazy?
It's their job to manipulate the media. That's a big part of a coach's job right now.
On behalf of his team.
Well, he also has an agent, Bob Lamont, who is, the Drew Rosenhaus of coaching agents. I mean, so he hired a loose cannon. It's probably Lamont as much as anyone.
Next question. Yeah.
But, okay, put that aside, Fred. Wouldn't you love to see Charlie Weiss back here coaching Tom Brady in the office?
He wouldn't. So,
who do you want? Who's your number one candidate?
I wouldn't either.
To be the head coach?
Yeah.
Either Fisher or Fox from Carolina.
I think those are two great, great guys.
Yeah, well, what do you think
and
you got?
Fox isn't going to...
Did you
the
see
ego
that?
On this kid right here.
Did you see his face?
Whoa,
I was actually, first of all, don't point at me because I was actually saying the three of us. I wasn't taking all the credit.
Oh my God.
The thing is, Fox isn't going anywhere. Fox is going to be too successful.
I know that.
Fisher will be available.
Let's take a break and Mike will interview
do
people.
Something.
Breaks the tackle, drives it upfield, to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Benjamin Watson.
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed mini helmet limited to your first 400 with qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
And it is the Mike Felger Show here, Patriots Friday, 890 ESPN, live at Gillette Stadium. Let's bring in our first guest, Troy Brown, Patriots receiver. Fresh off the practice field. Troy, I ask you every Friday, so let's do it again. I'll ask, and you'll say it was great. How was practice?
Today was a good day. No, we had a really good Friday practice, you know, so started off a little slow for us, but we got it together yesterday and put together a couple good days.
So is that normal? You come back from a bye, you come back from maybe traveling, maybe doing other things, and then you pick it up at practice, and that week is sometimes a little sluggish?
Well, I know for me personally, every week is a bad – every Wednesday is a bad Wednesday for me. So that's just how it is. And this week we came back Monday, practiced on Monday, and, you know, we did fairly well. You know, we had 4 days off, and you can be a little rushed. I think your body just gets into a mode where it's like, is the season over right now? Because you're off 4 days, and it's not used to that. You just kind of fall into that mode of like just the season's over and it's hard to get going. But, you know, we managed to get through it and put together a couple good days there.
Yeah, and for you, it's tough. As Bill's told us, you practice offense on Wednesday, defense Thursday, Friday, both, or something like that. I mean, you have a certain routine that you do offense, defense through the week, correct?
Yeah, it depends on, you know, what the personnel is going to be for the week or whatever. So, you know, we just kind of base it off of that. And I take so many reps on defense. I go to the meetings on defense, you know, what, Thursday or Friday or wherever. He just tells me where to go most of the time because I forget. But, you know, it's sometimes it gets a little rough, but I don't mind doing it.
Have you stopped, and I asked Bill this morning, he said he can't tell, but have you stopped trying to figure out whether you're going to have a good game based on a good week of practice? I mean, does it always translate? If you have a good week, do you say to yourself, yeah, we're all set, and then you go out on Sunday and you lay an egg? Or do you sometimes want to pace yourself and not have such a great week of practice because then you can peak on Sunday? How do you, you know, sort of gauge that whole thing?
Yeah, it's funny because it just depends. I mean, more than likely, it's probably the way you practice that week is going to, you know, roll over into the game. But every once in a while, you get those ones where you just practice like crap the whole week, and then you go out and you play great. And every once in a while, you get those ones where you practice great, and you just can't get anything going on Sundays. But for the most part, it's always usually goes the way practice goes during the week. That's how the game's going to go. So,
is it different for this team because there's so many veterans who've been there and you know what to do to get ready on Sunday? You don't necessarily need to go, you know, balls to the wall on Wednesday to get ready for Sunday. So is this team a little different in that guys know what to do?
It may help sometimes to have more guys that knows, you know, that's been through it and knows how practice is going to go, you know, today, and just kind of remind guys of, you know, hey, you get it together, you know, it's going to roll over into the game. So it kind of helps sometimes. You got a bunch of young guys out there that are just running around and have no clue that, you know, practice is going bad, you know, because you can just kind of look, make one look at Bill, and you can kind of see that, you know, he's not having good practice right now. So, but, you know, some of the young guys don't really understand that stuff yet. So when they start to, then they'll be able to, you know, realize like we do.
It's Troy Brown on 890 ESPN and the Mike Felger Show, Patriots Friday, live from Gillette Stadium. Have you had one practice? Does one practice ever stick out to you? Do you ever look back and say, that was the best practice I ever had? That's the most fun I've ever had at practice. Or that was the most unusual practice I ever had?
No, I've had a few of them. I've had a few of them that's kind of been really, really good, really good practices.
Like, for example, what happened? What happened in that practice?
It's just some practices where you're in a zone and you get like five or six balls, especially like on Thursday practices, like third down practices. When they go really, really well, you come off the field feeling really good about yourself, mm-hmm. and then you go in the game and it happens just like it happened in practice. You know, those are the times when, like the Kansas City game that one year,
mm-hmm.
I dropped the first pass, but yeah.
You're talking
2002, I think it was.
Yep.
And the practice was kind of similar to that. And you went into the game and it was just like unconsciously catching the ball. I mean, I turned around and the ball's in there. I just put my hands up and it stuck, you know. So
how about that
one of those days?
How about that practice in 2000 when Belichick paid a practice squad player to attack Larry Malloy and start a fight? Remember that one?
That's what they said happened, you know. But I remember that one though. But
who was it?
Who was that practice squad? You know?
Remember?
I can remember who it was. Remember who it was?
I'm going to come up with that name. But yeah. You remember that one?
Yeah, I remember that one. I remember the rumors floating around that that's what happened, that he paid somebody to start a fight. But you know, it kind of lit a fire, got the guys fired up, and we came into the game and fired up too. So,
all right, Troy, talk about this matchup this weekend. Buffalo would seem to me have a tough game for the receivers. Those corners in Buffalo can cover. Nate Clements, Terrence McGee, those guys, pretty good.
Yeah, they're really, really good cover guys, and they get up and they're physical, and especially Clements, he's really, really, really physical, and he doesn't give up many plays on his side of the field, and they're also very good tacklers also in the running game, so you got to worry about them too in the running game, so we got to be ready to block and stop them from making plays behind the line of scrimmage. And that whole defense, I mean, that whole linebacker crew and up front, they can get some rush, as you saw in the first game. I mean,
yep.
They scored in 12 seconds on us all, just on defense alone. And this is just and they're a notoriously fast-starting team. And we were down, 17-3 before you knew it. And they've pretty much played the same way against everybody. I mean, it's got they got about 25 to 30 three and outs, you know, with their defense, and they've always played tough, and that's just the way they are. And we got to be able to match their intensity from the beginning of the game, or you know, going on the road to play in Buffalo, fall behind 17-3, might be a long day.
Yeah, has it changed for you, Troy, this year in that you're seeing more of the Nate Clements of the world as opposed to the third or fourth corner in the slot? You know, in the last 3 or 4 years, that's probably where you were playing and getting those matchups. Now you're going to see Nate Clements this
week.
Yeah,
we had McGee. When McGee's the other starting corner, we had him in the slot the first game, and you see it quite a bit. I think Miami threw in Allen in the slot, so I mean he's their starting corner. Right. So you see a lot more of that. It's a tough place to defend. You know, receivers in the slot have two ways to go, and usually some little quick guy that's running around, scatting around, and getting open and making plays for his team on third down. So
I was talking to the PFW boys earlier about Wes Welker, who I think is just the perfect slot receiver. He's just tough to cover that guy.
Wes Welker, you got Stokely, all those type of guys that just really run around in there. You got Bobby Engram out in Seattle, just run around and get open and catch the ball, and it's hard to keep up with them. So,
Troy Brown, 890 ESPN. We were also talking about you and the Super Bowl when Parcells benched you and Desmond Howard ran right up the seam you would have been covering on the kickoff team. I want to get to that in a second as we sort of look at your career, because this is a big week for you. 6 catches Sunday, Troy. You are the Patriots' all-time leading receiver. I remember talking to you early, maybe week one when we first started this. You said, I don't even think of that. I don't look at it. I have no idea. How many get in, you know. Downplayed it. You got to know what's going on this week.
Well, I've been downplaying it the whole time, but I mean, really now it's to the point now where I can't say I'm not thinking about it, because I hear it from somebody just about every day. You know, somebody asking me how many catches I need, or you know, how you feel about the record. So, I mean, like I said, I think that Stanley's a great guy, man, and I look at his stats, and I'm not even a huge on stats, but I look at his, and you look at a guy that's caught 500 plus balls, and he's averaged 20 yards,
yeah,
almost 20 yards a catch.
I yardages mean, are crazy.
He's got to be, that's got to be somewhere near the top, if not the top in the NFL over the course of NFL history. You know, so he's done a tremendous job, and I don't think anybody has that you know 500 catches with double the amount of yards.
Is Stanley Morgan someone that you keep in touch with?
No, I don't really keep in touch with him, but I spoke to him a couple of times, and like I said, I bought some clothes from his wife before, so You know, but he seems like a great guy. The few times that I did come in contact with him.
Well, what does it mean to you, Troy? I mean, that kind of record speaks to longevity with one organization. You don't see that a lot in today's NFL. Is that important to you, that you've been a Patriot for that long and are identified with the team
are? It's been very satisfying for me that I didn't have to get up and pack up and move, and you know, have to worry about relocating and getting adjusted to a new city and new accents and dialects and stuff. You know, so I didn't have to worry about that, but it's been, you know, I'm glad I stayed the whole 14 years here and not having to go somewhere else and play. But it does, you know, kind of make you feel at home. Like, I take, for instance, Coach Garnecki, you know, he's been here forever, you know, and I think that's great. You know, he didn't have to pack up and move. He's been through several coaching staffs, and he's managed to survive, which everybody knows is difficult, more difficult as a coach to survive in one place, let alone being a player these days. So, It's nice to be able to call one place your home.
Could you ever foresee yourself playing somewhere else? I mean, you had that chance a couple of years ago with New Orleans. Gave you a better offer than the past.
Yeah, I don't really think about it. You know, I mean, if I decide to play on from here, you know, who knows what might happen. But this has always been my first choice to play here, unless somebody's give me a winning lottery ticket somewhere else or something. But, but other than that, you know, I'm here, you know. And like I said, I've had a great time here, and it's been wonderful for me. And the bottom line is, as long as, you know, Troy Brown's happy and the kids are happy, the family's happy, you know, and that's all that matters at the end of the day. So.
Okay, just because we were talking about it earlier and because I'm curious about it, and I just think it's an interesting footnote in Patriots history. What happened? We all know Desmond Howard, that touchdown return in Super Bowl, was it 31, whatever it was, in New Orleans. You were deactivated that game. Bill Parcells deactivated you for that Super Bowl game. It was the only game you were deactivated that year. It's the last time you've been a healthy scratch in your entire career. This is 10 years ago now. And from what I gather, Hassan Graham, the guy who played for you, actually played in your spot on the kickoff team. It was Graham that Desmond Howard ran by for the touchdown. You should have been out there. If you were out there, we all like to think, we would probably know you would have made that tackle. Maybe Patriot history is different. You ever think about that? Why, first of all, did Parcells bench you that game?
Well, I think there's been a lot of misconceptions about what really happened, why I got deactivated, but the real story was I was hurt, but it was to a point where I kind of managed it throughout the playoffs. If anybody noticed, I didn't have one catch in the playoffs, and I had the double hernias. But we didn't know that at the time. We just thought I had like groin pulls or whatever.
Were you still on the kickoff teams through those playoff games?
I was still on the kickoff teams through those playoff games, and I think I may have made a few plays on the kickoff team. It was to a point where I couldn't run full speed. But I felt like I could have played in the Super Bowl because it was a Super Bowl. But
okay, well, I mean, just going back,
so I wasn't really a healthy scratch, but I think he was just saying that because it was a couple times in practice where I actually did go down and had to come out of the game on offense. And I think it got to the point where he didn't think I was going to be able to hold up throughout the course of the whole game. So he made a decision to put Hassan Graham in there, who never played on kickoff team, who is still a friend of mine, which I still talk to, and I would never dog him out like that. So I'm kind of defending him a little bit that that was his first time on the kickoff team. And they put him in there, and he was right in the right spot to make the play. And we all know you haven't been on kickoff team, it's a little scary. But right. He wasn't able to make the play, and he ran it back. But
no one knows these little inside things. Yeah. But, I mean, it's a huge footnote in Patriots history. Now, the last regular season game that year, Troy, in 96, you had 7 catches against the Giants. So
I played most of that game.
Your groins were fine
that
game.
That's actually the game where I developed the hernias. And we didn't know it until, March sometime, so we weren't able to find them. And we found them in March, and we got them fixed. And got them fixed like April 1st or something like that. So it was, I was going through a lot of pain, a lot of agony, but I played most of that game, with those hernias.
Right. So, this is just when you're going for a record, it's time to sort of be retrospective and look back and, your whole tenure here. What's your highlight here as a Patriot?
What's the highlight?
Yeah, what's your favorite moment?
I got to say winning that first Super Bowl. It was just it was a great moment because we worked so hard after missing that first one the way we did, and everybody was always you always see other players from other teams who had been there and won Super Bowls or didn't win Super Bowls or lost them or whatever. They always come up to you and tell you, man, we should have got that one. You never know when you're gonna get back again. You may not ever get back again. Marino never got back after 84 season.
Right.
He never got back there. So that was always in the back of my head, all those years, and then you end up going. You see yourself 10-6, 9-7, 8-8 the next 3 seasons. You're like, God, maybe we are sliding down here. And then to win that thing in 2001 was just, it felt like a huge burden was lifted off your back, off your career. That, you're going into your 9th and 10th season, this is the maybe my last chance to win one and to go ahead and win it. It had to be probably the biggest highlight in my career.
Okay, Troy Brown, hopefully this will be a good highlight for you this weekend. 6 catches, you passed Stanley Morgan as the Patriots' all-time leading receiver. In my mind, it's a record that may never be broken because I don't know how many receivers are going to come through the NFL and spend 13, 14, however many it ends up being, years with one team like you have with this team. That may stand there forever, Troy. So
I know. It's rare. You see a lot of guys moving on pretty quickly these days, 2, 3, and 4 years, and they're with another team. We'll see what happens.
Okay, Troy Brown here on 890 ESPN. Thank you very much for stopping by, Troy. Good luck on Sunday. We'll talk to you next week. Tuesday night, the Troy Brown Show on 890 ESPN. Real quick, how's that going? I listen.
It's going pretty good. I'm learning. I'm trying to get as good as you.
Oh,
so
please.
Maybe one day I'll be as good as you and it'll take off. So, but it's going pretty good. I'm having fun doing it, and hopefully I get more and more involved where I can, kind of MC the thing myself. And
that's what I'm talking about.
Be pretty good at it.
That's what we're looking for. Well, it's great stuff. The Troy Brown Show, Tuesday nights on 890 ESPN. Troy, for an hour, you can call him, email him. He takes calls, questions, the whole thing. It's a great program. Troy, good luck again this weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, that's Troy Brown. We'll open it up to your phone calls, 1-866-ESPN-890, 1-866-377-6890. It's the Mike Felger Show and Patriots Friday on 890 ESPN.
Size hunger and want the awesome authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home. Tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks, and more. With Patriots
it's Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CMS Wholesalers, Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Rich Brothers Sunbury Farms, Shaw's Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, Fred Kirsch and Tom Casale. You going to be back, Mike? I got a hot seat thing for you.
Go ahead. Give it to me.
Okay. This is from Dan Heffern, one of our better emailers. He says, this is the hot seat. You got to sit in the hot seat and answer the questions. Ready?
Do it.
Better to shop at, Walmart or Target?
He doesn't know what either one of those stores
Walmart.
Are.
Target. Walmart. No, Target.
All right. Better
Target,
Christmas Target. Movie, Home Alone or It's a Wonderful Life?
Home Alone.
Funnier movie, Billy Madison or What About Bob?
Haven't seen either.
Who were the better fans, booing Johnny Damon or cheering Johnny Damon?
Cheering Johnny Damon. Not even close.
Worst show of professionalism, walking out of the show declaring this is a colossal waste of my time or falling asleep at the mic because you had too many hurricanes?
The other guy's name is escaping me. Ah, jeez.
Which is better, the hurricane thing?
Worst name to be called, a fag or a liar?
Oh, liar, by far.
More embarrassing, getting lost in Gillette
Stadium. What would you rather be called, a fag or a liar?
Getting lost in Gillette Stadium, most embarrassing, getting lost in Gillette Stadium and setting off the fire alarm or crying at your own wedding?
Is that Polly Paul for both?
No, it's Andy for, and Tom being lost, Andy crying at his own wedding.
Crying at your own wedding's cool.
Okay, all right, well, that's it. All right.
Thank you.
You have somewhere to go. Okay. Yeah. That was a great interview, by the way.
Thank you. Troy's a good guy.
No, thank you for bringing up the Parcells thing.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That was really good.
Isn't that interesting?
That was excellent.
Yeah. Not bad.
No.
Maybe someday you'll be as good as Troy on the radio.
Kudos to Mike for remembering to ask that question. That's good. Dan, just to finish up Dan's email, it says, it doesn't have to be read on the air, so I won't read it on the air. Okay. But we do have some other emails coming in. He says, Thomas, this is from Eric, who has declared himself the new executive producer of PFW in Progress.
Okay.
He says, Tom is confused about Brian Brome's injury. He says, Brome tore his ACL last year near the end of the year. This year he hurt his ulnar collateral ligament of the right thumb.
No, I know what the injury was. I'm saying they were saying he might be back for the West Virginia game. They didn't say he was going to be back in 2 or 3 weeks. That was the diagnosis. They said hopefully he'll be back for the West Virginia game, which is, I believe, 2 weeks from now. So he came back. I'm just saying no matter what injury you have, whatever they tell you, just shave like 3 or 4 weeks off of it because everyone just keeps coming back quicker. That's why I wouldn't be surprised if Peterson comes back.
Jay from Hanson says, here's my list of coaches that will be canned or retired. Joe Gibbs, Bill Parcells, Dennis Green, Brian Billick, Art Schell, Marty Schottenheimer, after he blows another playoff game by being Mr. Conservative, and Jim Mora, if Michael Vick has any say. Well, you know, Billick, I don't think so. Didn't he just sign an extension over in Baltimore?
Yeah,
I think he did.
Still got to do some winning there.
Shell, I think Al Davis just won't make the move because he's too...
No one wants to coach there.
Yeah, so I just because he doesn't have anyone else. So I don't think... But all the others I could see. I could see Gibbs retiring. I could see Parcells walking away. I could see Green getting fired if things don't get any better. And Jim Mora, I
think he could be fired.
Yeah, so... So
I think the Falcons are in for some tough days ahead. They're not as good as people thought off the bat.
Yep. Let's see. More songs for Tom's iPod. This is from Eric in Deerfield Beach, Florida, but soon back in Manch, Vegas. Excuse me. New Hampshire. I didn't know there was such a place as Manch, Vegas, New Hampshire. What is that? I can't hear you, Gary.
That's what they call Manchester.
Manchester, they call it Manch Vegas. Why?
Because it's the hot happening town in New Hampshire.
Oh, okay. Anyway, Eric says, here's some songs. Slipknot. You ever hear of Slipknot?
Yeah, they're crazy. I know them.
Wait and Bleed, Heretic Anthem, and Eyeless. And Mudvayne Dig.
Okay, I'll take these under consideration. These songs people are sending me better be good.
Well, you have access to all these emails, right?
No.
You don't get to look at these?
No.
All right. And last but not least, Mac in Somerville wanted Felger to comment on the state of his Green Bay Packers. Well, Mike's not here anymore, but we've listened to Mike. Mike is not one of those rose-colored fans. He tells it like it is when it comes to the Packers, and I know he's pretty upset.
Yeah.
When it comes to what's going on with Green
and
Bay.
And he should be.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Stay tuned for Mike John Rook. Correct, Gary? Yeah, okay. He'll be here at 2 o'clock, and to carry you on through the day, we will be back on Tuesday, Patriots Monday, on Monday here on Patriots.com Radio after a big Patriots win. See you then. After a big